This is it from the house.
Thank you. February the 27th, 2012, from the House of Representatives. Third reading passed, amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill number 51, Industrial Siding Impact Payments. Ayes 59, noes 1. And House Bill 82, Public Assistance Drug Testing. Ayes 37, noes 23. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
February the 27th, 2012. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 66, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cole, Cooper, Jennings, and Rothfuss. Senator Bebout, Chairman. February the 27th, 2012. Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 90, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cole, Cooper, Jennings, and Rothfuss. Senator Bebout, Chairman.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, House Bill 90 has an appropriation, and I ask that it be re-referred to the Appropriations Committee.
The request is that House Bill 90 be re-referred from Committee Number 9 to Committee Number 2. Are there any objections? Seeing none, it is so ordered. Any other requests before we start? Bills on third reading. We will continue with third reading amendments to the budget bill, Senate File 1. Senators, earlier in the proceedings today, we had a request that an amendment be laid back. The amendment that was laid back was third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 1. That was the Meyer amendment. And we're going to bring that back up again, so I'd ask the reading clerk to read that amendment back in, please.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 2, budget affected 07 Wyoming Military Department.
Senator Meyer, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 1 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. We pulled this back when I was looking over the shoulder of my compadre here to the left. We were looking at the lines, the deletion 19 through 24. I inadvertently thought that was on page 84. It's actually on page 85, and the amendment does track, Mr. President. To be specific about this, on page 14, line 16 through 20, that amendment in that area deletes the footnote for $350,000 concerning a bill that was did not pass, that says that the funds would revert. The difference between a fund reverting and a fund being deleted or void is if it reverts, it stays around to the end of the biennium. If it's deleted, then it's available for immediate appropriation. It also, over on page 20, line 13, that goes into the, I believe, the special revenue funds there, $2.694 million. That deletes that. That is also some funds associated with the bill, which did not pass. And we go on to page 84, and look at some other funds that were associated with that piece of legislation. On page 84, line 12, there you see your special special funds in T1. Those funds will go back to the corpus or will never be taken out of the corpus. The difference between that is that they're taken out of the corpus. They're invested as a pooled interest rate. If they stay in the corpus, they're invested on the long-term plan. We also go over to page 85, lines 19 through 25, and that's the footnotes that associated with that file did not proceed. And, again, those were general funds in that area, and those funds would be, in that case, to the extent that those are general funds, would not revert but would be profiled. So, Mr. President, that's the explanation. The simple explanation is that the bill didn't go through. We're just taking it out of the budget so we get square with the world.
Questions? Senator Schiffer, go ahead.
Mr. President, and my colleague from Goshen County has shown me the error of my ways, and he took me to the woodshed, and I'm a believer now.
Okay, given that bit of drama. Third reading amendment number 2, Senate file number 1. There is a change in appropriation, and I would require a roll call. So the chief clerk call roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geist.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks. Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Third reading amendment number 2 has passed. The next amendment is amendment number 4. I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
Senate file 1, third reading amendment number 4, section 20, Department of Environmental Quality.
Senator Rothfuss, what's your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 4 to Senate file number 1 and ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. President, this is an amendment specific to the Department of Environmental Quality, affected the solid waste management, and is specific to a footnote and the removal of that footnote, which can be found on your budget, page 20, lines 19 through 23. Mr. President, this footnote was put in by the JAC, and what it specifies is that in the event that vacancies occur within the 46 full-time positions allocated to the Solid Waste Management Division, the department shall not fill any vacant positions within the division until there are less than 40 positions filled and shall not thereafter exceed 40 filled positions for the remainder of the 13-14 fiscal biennium. Mr. President, what this amendment is trying to do is the JEC took a look at the number of FTEs that were in the solid and hazardous waste division and noticed that that was higher than it had been in the past. And that's certainly the case, but when you look at the history of this situation, you have an internal transfer that took place in 2008 when DEQ moved 12 FTEs from the storage tank program from Water Quality Division to the Solid and Hazardous Waste Division. So there actually was no FTE growth at that time, despite the fact that it appears, when you look at the breakdown, that this division grew. It was a reallocation of internal resources, not necessarily a growth. That said, there was some growth in the history of DEQ previous to that point, but it certainly wasn't associated with that specific event, nor is it unique to the Solid and Hazardous Waste Division. So, Mr. President, what this amendment does is tries to give back the authority to the DEQ to maintain those positions. And the reason I feel that that's particularly important to allow them to have these six positions back and not have this footnote in place is you have to realize that they're going to be facing over the next couple of years proposals for 4% and 8% reductions. Now, if what we're doing at this point is cutting six positions and then asking them to come back later and give 4% or 8% reductions, That's an unfair burden. They should be able to allocate internally where they want to draw those from. Now, I know this body understands the importance of DEQ being able to get these permits out the door quickly. If they have to wait, if they take a long time, and our business and industry are required to sit back while the permits are being processed, that's an opportunity cost lost to our business and industry. We want to make sure that we're doing things right, and we want to make sure that we have that flexibility. And as DEQ moves forward looking for cuts and possible ways to cut their budget, they should have the flexibility to make those internal choices, and we shouldn't just be deciding, well, your numbers are pretty high right now in solid and hazardous waste. We'll cut those back for you. We should let them do an internal assessment and determine where they need to make those cuts in the future. So with that, barring any questions, I'd ask for the question and hope there's favorable consideration on this amendment. That DEQ gets some further consideration on these positions.
Go ahead, Senator Meyer, in regard to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. As you can see, if you on the top of your desk, you probably had this sheet that's passed out. That kind of gives you a history for a while of the staffing numbers at the agency. And if you look back into that area there, in between 06 and 07, we grew at 31 people. And the reason for that primarily, Mr. President, was we are coming on with our coal bed methane. We needed the permits. We're getting backlogs. We put the people in there to make sure that that permitting process went smooth. And indeed, the industry was not held back. And so we have the flexibility at any time to address those specific needs as they occur. That went through the process for a few years, and then what you basically had is some, what I'd say, is creep from one part of the agency to the other part of the agency. Last year we had the agency come in and justify those changes because they took some out of the permitting process and those different agencies and put them into the other areas. This year they didn't come back and re-justify those, Mr. President. And so we looked at areas where we thought that they could be, I guess, overstaffed. When you look at 46, that's two DEQ people per county. And if I guess I look at some of the counties here, a lot of them because of the consolidation of the solid waste areas that they have in the facilities, that there's almost as many DEQ people as there are landfills in a county. And so I felt we might be just a little bit overstaffed there. So, and the Appropriation Committee felt that too. So what we did is that we didn't ask them to just snap cut six positions. We said you do it by attrition. So nobody loses their job. But if at some point in time somebody retires in this area, then we're going to try to reduce our staff through attrition in this one area. I think it's reasonable. It could be that this implementation of this is going to go well past the budget. It may not. Indeed, if no one retires, you'll continue to have 46 people when we come back in. But if someone does retire, we'll start getting the overgrowth of this and agency in control. So, Mr. President, I would basically stand against this amendment and ask you to stand with the Appropriations Committee in our deliberations and vote this amendment down.
Any other comments, questions? I guess final opportunity. I don't see any other. Go ahead, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, that would be a very reasonable consideration that we just heard, were it not for the fact that we're going to ask them to come back and cut later, and were it not for the fact that there's no indication that this agency does not need the staff that it currently has to the extent that they're backlogged on permitting. Right? We make all of our industry go to DEQ, ask for permits before they can do much of anything that generates wealth and jobs for this state. We put forward that requirement. They are basically the gatekeeper to this type of development. And we don't have any evidence or indication that there's just people sitting around right now and that everybody's getting their permit going through instantaneously. We haven't seen that. If we want to study this more and if we want to find that out, I'm not averse to that. I think that's perfectly reasonable. If this is too many positions, let's get rid of some of those positions. But we certainly haven't seen any evidence at this point indicating that that is too many positions and that they're easily capable of doing the job that we asked them to do. And I would be cautious and ask that we err on the side of making sure that our industry can get their permits in a timely manner and go about their business, which is obviously what this entity is supposed to be doing. It's protecting our state, but it's also making sure that we can have our industrial development take place. So until we see that study, until DEQ does that internal audit and says, all right, well, these are the positions we could afford to get rid of, I don't think we should be doing this particular approach, and I'd ask the body to give that favorable consideration of removing that footnote and supporting the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Given the significant amount of internal movement and consequences, I'm going to ask for the yeas and nays on this particular amendment.
Barnard, Bebout, Burns, Case, Christensen, Coe, Cooper, Dockstader, Driscoll, Emmerich, Esquivel, Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Hines, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Martin, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Flatern, President Anderson.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 6 ayes, 24 noes.
Third reading amendment number 4 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 5, the Meyer amendment. I'd ask the reading clerk to read this in at this time.
Senate file 1, third reading amendment number 5, budgets affected. 24, State Parks Cultural Resources.
Senator Meyer, what's your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the committee, when the Senate, I move third reading amendment number 5 to Senate file 1. There we go. Now I got it down, Mr. President. Mr. President, I was having trouble because I was actually spending money, and it's hard for me to do this, Mr. President. But, Mr. President, we are asking for $500,000 from general fund. And I want you to draw your attention to the goldenrod right now. And at this point in time, we have over $15 million in general fund. Mr. President, the hog farmer to my left here is telling me that this could be pork, Mr. President, but it isn't. It certainly is for pork for the state of Wyoming, if you want to look at it this way, Mr. President. It says, of this appropriation, $500,000 shall be used to fund maintenance and construction of watercraft access facilities at state parks. And, folks, what we're getting is a lot of flooding in some of these state parks. And when you flood and you flood out the access roads to the boat docks, there's no alternative areas to reach the lake by anyone. And so what this amendment is hoping to do is that when we have those floods or prepare for those floods, that we can have access on the other side of the lakes, that people can take the high road around the lakes and get into access or recreational facilities. And I can tell you that the area that I'm most familiar with is Glendo Lake. And Glendo, if you don't have boat access to that reservoir, frankly, the town of Glendo just dries up in the summer because the Department of Transportation will shine a light down here on the way into Wyoming that says Glendo closed. And they mean the lake, but it's actually the town that closes down when you have those flooding. And that flooding has occurred twice the last 2 years. And so hopefully the state parks will use that money. I think that's one of the hot spots that they might use that money. There may be other areas in the state. But, Mr. President, it's about economic development. It's about resources to our state parks that will actually spur tourism and maintain tourism in the state of Wyoming. And, Mr. President, it's half of what it was. We had $1 million at one point in time in the budget from JAC. This cuts it back to $500,000. I think it's a reasonable thing to ask the Senate to support this. So, with that, Mr. President, I'd stand for questions.
Questions, comments in regard to this amendment? Seeing none, I would ask the Chief Clerk to please call the roll in regard to third reading amendment number 5.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon? Martin?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting? Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott? Von Fleitern?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 8 ayes, 22 noes.
Third reading amendment number 5 has failed. Senator Driscoll.
President, the privilege of the floor.
Yes, you may.
I would like to welcome members of the travel, tourism, and lodging industry, which are in all the galleries around, I believe, part of the State Board of Tourism, which my wife is also a part of. Please welcome the backbone of Wyoming's tourism industry.
Welcome, everyone.
I tried. He wouldn't recognize me.
Next amendment. Third reading amendment number 34. I'd like that read in at this time. That's the Rothfuss amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 34, budget affected 27 School Facilities Commission.
And members of the Senate, that has been inserted into the order if you're having some difficulty locating it. Go ahead, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like to move third reading amendment number 34 to Senate file number 1 and ask the body for favorable consideration, and I truly hope this one goes better than the last one. This is simply a correction of a previous amendment. You can see that we had the second reading amendment, and there's some language there that needs to be changed in reference to a statute 2115-109A little 3 changing to 2115-109 little C. The first of those is a definition. The second is actually the description of the square footage. The second one is the one we need to be correct in our terminology, and hopefully there'll be no questions on that, and everyone will just go along with it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Questions? Question being called. Third reading amendment number 34. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Third reading amendment 34 has passed. Next amendment. Third reading amendment number 6. That's the Von Fleitern amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate file 1, third reading amendment number 6, budget affected. Number 29, Wyoming Water Development Office.
Go ahead, Senator Von Fleitern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 1 and apologize to the Senate for not getting it right the first time, but this is the same as the second reading amendment. But as my good chairman of appropriations pointed out to me, we had it start instantly, so it'll be appropriated out of the budget year we're in instead of the upcoming budget year, which, of course, throws off your LSRRA dip and everything else that'll happen here in the next 3 or 4 months. So, same thing as we had on second reading. I hope you'll vote aye.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Third reading number 6 has passed. Third reading amendment number 14, the BVOT amendment, I'd ask that be read in this time.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 14, Section 39, Wildlife Natural Resource Trust.
Senator BVOT, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 14 to Senate File 1. Members of the Senate, this amendment does several things. I'll try to explain what it does, and then I'll get into the rationale behind the reasoning. The first thing is that if you go into the Wildlife Natural Trust Resource Fund account, Section 39, there's a general fund appropriation that goes into the trust account itself, and that's $5 million. And what this does is take that general fund money and redivert it, do not put it into the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund, but diverts it to the community college account, which is in budgets 57, Section 57. And if you look at the amendment, Mr. President, it's for $5 million, and it specifically says that this $5 million appropriation shall not be expended for salaries, notwithstanding any other provision of law. It shall not be transferred or expended for any purpose not specified in this footnote. Mr. President, the reason I bring this to you, and first of all, this is revenue neutral in the sense that we're diverting general fund monies from one account into another one, so we're not adding to the overall general fund budget, for the overall budget. And Mr. President, and when I started looking at this, and we had some debate the other day about increasing the funds to the community colleges, we talk about the enrollment growth portion of what they do. And in this body, a couple of years ago, we had a lot of discussion about community colleges. We passed a comprehensive bill out of the Senate Joint Education Committee. And when we did that, we asked them to do the enrollment growth. And so what I presented to you, and you have it on your desk, is a look at the enrollment growth relative to funding. And I think that really tells the entire story, Mr. President, because when you look at that, if you start in 04 for the community colleges, and per FTE, now this is what I want to be sure you understand, it's per FTE, and you look at they had 100% FTA appropriation, and the enrollment trend was at 100%. You fast forward to the year 2010-11, that enrollment trend has grown by 27%. FTEs have grown by 27% from 2004-05 to 2010-2011. The state appropriation for FTE is at 98% or less than it was in 2004-05. And not to pick on our favorite university, this is not what this is all about, but it's more to give you a comparison, members of the Senate. And you do the university 2004-05 enrollment trend 100%, and you fast forward that to 9-10, their enrollment trend has grown from 100% to 105%, and the appropriation per FTE is 154%. Now, I'm not picking on the university. I'm just trying to give you some comparisons to give you the whole reason why we're trying to do this. And I looked at my college, Central Wyoming College, and I apologize to the other six colleges that I don't have their information. But in the case of Central from 07, they had 14,900 FTEs. They've gone to 18,744. And the correlating increases in their funding is just like I told you before. The funding has, in fact, gone down per FTE. Now, as to why we're looking at the Wyoming Trust Fund, the Wildlife Trust Fund, and, Mr. President, this isn't to go after that fund or not believe in what that's all about. It's just a matter of priorities that I think we as a Senate have to discuss when we look at our funding situation. And, Mr. President, we all know that revenues are down, fundings are short, and I thought it made a lot of sense to look at another area where maybe this is not the time to put the money into the Wyoming Wildlife Trust Fund. Let me give you some numbers, Mr. President. That fund is now standing at $91,750,000. That's the amount of money in the Wildlife Trust Fund. When we had good budgets in 2010 and 2011, we only put $2.5 million a year in there. So we had good budgets then. We had the money. Why only $2.5 million? And now when we're having problems with our budget, we're having shortfalls, we're talking about putting $5 million in there. Mr. President, this does not affect their spending appropriations. If you look at the amount of money they spent since we started this fund in 2005-06, we spent $128 million on these projects. And we've talked a lot about during this session to try to hold the standard budget to the 11-12 appropriation relative to the 13-14 budgets. And if you look at that under the Wildlife Trust Fund in 11-12, we spent $11.5 million. And this year, the budget now, including the AML funds, it's up in Senate File 121, is $15.6 million. So it's an increase of about 50%. The point is not to say that we shouldn't be spending this money on these projects. The point is that I think our priorities are a little different right now, and I think the money is better spent than it should be put into the community colleges. Mr. Chairman, that's the whole purpose of this. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions? Okay, I'm going to go to Senator Case, and I'll go to Senator Hastert. Go ahead, Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much. You know, Mr. President, if there's a success story that we've had developed out of this legislature, it's been the Wildlife Trust Fund. And, Mr. President, you know, Wyoming is, it's a changing animal. And we are seeing the potential for handing down to our children and grandchildren a Wyoming that looks very different than it does now. And one thing, though, that has helped to preserve that heritage is the Wildlife Trust. By all accounts, a success story. You've got industry that has partnered with private donors to use the Wildlife Trust to make sure that it is possible to develop oil and continue development of oil and gas and wind resources in Wyoming by protection of habitat, so crucial. You know, if the wind industry develops in a manner that it's expected to, and the key there is the development of transmission capacity out, and secondly, what happens with the tax credit at the federal level. Nothing to do with Wyoming policy, but if it were to develop in the way that it could, it is going to be an enormous implication on the landscape in Wyoming, and we will need every dime to protect habitat and to make sure that a certain little bird doesn't get listed, and that little bird could really shut down development in Wyoming. We need this trust, and we need it intact. By all accounts, it's very well managed. The chairman of that trust, or the chairman of the board of the trust, was here the other day, a colleague of ours, and everyone to a T comments on how well the trust has been ran, how it's a surprising success, and how it's doing such good things for Wyoming. Now is not the time to send a message like this. I want to support the colleges. There's $15 million. Let's get an amendment in about general fund direction to the colleges. We didn't support the amendment last Friday or Thursday that was for over $8 million, but this one's in the ballpark of what I think we should support, but the funding source is wrong, so vote this amendment down.
Go ahead, Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, I'd like to divide the amendment. First Amendment is lines 1 through 4, and then Second Amendment is the remainder.
I believe that is divisible. Senator Hastert, first division being lines 1 through 4, second division being 5 through 19.
Mr. President, if I may I speak on the first division?
Please do.
And, Mr. President, this is the, I believe, for all the reasons that were just stated by my colleague back in the corner here, we should defeat this part of the amendment. I certainly support my friends in wildlife, and I support my friends in the college, and but, Mr. President, I think it was very eloquently spoken as to the reasons to defeat this first part of the amendment.
Other questions? Go ahead. I'm going to call on Senator Burns, and then I'll go to Senator Dockstader.
Mr. President, I also ask you to vote no on the first part of this amendment. Now with the amendment split, now all we're doing is just pulling this money out of the Wildlife Trust Fund. The intent of the sponsor is to take that money, pull it out of the trust fund, and give it to community colleges. They're a very good cause. But it seemed to me that the sponsor of the amendment was actually making a better argument for removing the $5 million from the university than he was from the trust fund. We had appropriation committee has met for months working up the budgets for these different institutions and for the trust fund itself. And I think if we're going to put more money into the colleges, it should come from general fund or from some other source. One other thing I'd like to remind the body of is that this Wildlife Trust Fund, for all the reasons that my deskmate here mentioned, is very important to the ongoing mineral extraction industry, which is the major tax source for this state. But the other thing I'd like to remind you of is the fact that this is a statutory trust. So that money goes in. That money can always be pulled out whenever the state is in dire need. You add $5 million to the community colleges, they're going to be asking for at least that $5 million plus more next time we come around. So that's the thing to keep in mind. But that's probably for the second half of the amendment.
Division 1, Senator Dockstader, did you still want to go? And then we'll go to Senator Hicks. Go ahead.
And I realize we're on Division One, but when we come back to the original sponsor, I'd like a little more explanation why we have this last-minute change to go after this trust. I do agree with the previous speaker that much has been done in the budget process leading up to this, and then all of a sudden we have this last-minute attempt at the Wildlife Trust. So when we come back to the original sponsor, some explanation as to why that's being done.
Okay, Senator Hicks, go ahead if you'd like.
President, with some regret on and against the amendment, I think one of the things that we need to understand in the context of the trust is you guys were all handed out early in the process the economic evaluation of what the trust has done. And basically since 2006, if you look at the economic contribution of the trust, it's over 500 jobs in the state of Wyoming, $21 million in wages. And the reason that is because that trust leverages so many other dollars. Let's talk about that dollars. When I look at the Wildlife Natural Resource Trust Fund, folks, what I see is a jobs program for the state of Wyoming. It's jobs in minerals, it's jobs in agriculture, and it's jobs in tourism. The three fundamental legs of the economy that drive this state. What this does is focus a lot of those economic dollars at that renewable base. If you look at the economy in Wyoming, we have a non-renewable component, which is the mineral section that drives a big portion. The long-term sustainability of this state is going to be through the renewable natural resources, which is our water, our timber, our wildlife, our open spaces, our agriculture, and our recreation base associated with all those renewable resources. What effectively what the Natural Resource Trust done is it makes a long-term investment in that economic sector. It says we're going to protect and enhance and conserve those fundamental components of our economy. That natural resource base that 50 and 100 years out, as we start to lose those mineral revenues, we have to have that portion of our economy in the absolute best condition as is, because it's going to be the thing that has to sustain the state of Wyoming in the long term. I would argue, and I'd ask your vote against this amendment. I think we do need to address the community colleges. They're an integral component. We're seeing that growth, but I'm not convinced at this point in time the value of this to the state of Wyoming and the jobs it creates, the wages, and builds that fundamental economic base for the whole state of Wyoming, that I would urge you to defeat this amendment.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
On and in favor of Division 1 of the amendment. Let's keep an eye on the donut here, not on the hole. What this does is delays or moves away additions to the trust corpus. This won't affect any of the spending that happens in the Wildlife Trust Fund. We've come back, and every year since we've created the trust fund, we've funded the projects as though the trust was fully funded. It's not fully funded yet, but we funded the expenses and the projects. If you go to line, just to be clear on that, if you go to line 26 and look at the Wildlife Trust projects, you'll see there that there's a significant amount of money there. This doesn't affect that. This delays the contribution into the corpus. But it still funds the projects. Will still happen. They'll still happen without this $5 million. What this means is next year there'll be a little bit less interest that comes out to fund the projects in the next biennium. But this doesn't affect the actual funding that goes into projects, but just goes to the corpus. Now, if I'm wrong on that, I hope that the sponsor will correct me, but I think I'm right. So thank you, Mr. President.
Another commentary in regard to the First Division. Senator Christensen, go ahead.
Mr. President, thank you. On and against the amendment, Division 1, the wildlife you see in Wyoming and the diversity of it, whether it's the fish or the fowl or so forth, it's what sets us apart, and we need to be very careful about that. It's great for business. It's great for tourism. But as we've already heard, it's good for energy. It's good for what helps stabilize this state. It's both on the energy side, on jobs, and on tourism. I'd encourage you to vote against this.
Go ahead, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. And for my second time, I don't think we need to belabor this point, but just to try to answer some of the questions, why a last-minute change from my colleague in the western part of the state. You know, I think the whole thing has been driven by the revenue picture we find our state involved in and the fact that we have reduced revenue, things are tough. And when I looked at this, I saw the need in the colleges. And to answer my colleague from up in Sheridan County, I guess I didn't think of the university as a way to do this. But there'd be a whole other bunch of arguments why that's not a good idea. So that's why it's a last-minute deal. I think it's been driven primarily by the fact that we have some revenue shortfalls, and I at least am trying to hold a position to stay consistent with our GAC and trying to do the right thing now by slow down the spending rather than have to come back with substantive cuts later on, like a 4% cut in our in the next supplemental bill if you, when you deal with that in the 2013. So that's the main reason for why, if you want to call it a last minute, it is a last minute. I don't understand how this affects the Endangered Species Act, really. I mean, I just don't see the connection there, to answer my colleague from Fremont County. And as I would make the same argument about the mineral estate. What I will say, though, and I'm on that board, this does work. And this isn't about this program not working. This isn't about trying to cut their funding in terms of what they're doing this year. It isn't about even trying to go back to the 2011-12, which would be, they have a 50% increase. I want the Senate to remember that. You know, we've asked other people to stay at the same levels, and we're being pretty firm on that, yet we're allowing them to spend 50% more. I'm not even going after that. That's not here. What I'm talking about, and my colleague from Natrona County is right, we're just not putting $5 million more dollars out of general fund money now into the corpus. I would ask that you support this part.
Unless there's objections, I think I'll call for a voice vote on the first division. Objections being heard. Division 1, lines 1 through 4. I'd ask for the yeas and nays and the chief clerk call the roll. Just seeing if you're awake.
Barnard.
No.
Bebout.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
Dockstader. Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Espobel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer? Scott,
no.
Bonfaitern,
no.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 noes.
Division 1, third reading amendment number 14 has failed. We are now on Division 2 of that amendment. Would anybody like to speak to Division 2? Senator Hastert, go ahead. Division 2, please.
My good colleague, I believe it was from Sheridan, mentioned that the appropriate place, I support Division number 2. I think we should put some money into there, and it should be, the source should be like general fund.
Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and against the amendment. Folks, as we talked about this before, no matter how you count it, what you're adding is a 3% increase to one entity out of all of our state budgets. We've told everybody else you have to learn to do more with less. And, you know, I've shown some handouts, and you can see that, for example, for the another higher education division, and I don't want to pit the UW against the community colleges either. But as an example, they are now teaching more students with fewer faculty. They've actually reduced their faculty numbers, and they're teaching more students because they have to do that. And you know what? The community colleges have to do the same. I do want to know, I mean, this whole notion of this enrollment growth needs to be, you need to study it. You need to learn what's being told to you. Again, as you recall, the community colleges have more general fund this biennium than they had the last biennium. That is, they have more resources to do than they had. The so-called cut is the amount that they take this formula that they've generated and say the formula generates a need for X amount of dollars, and if you don't fund that formula, then you're giving them a cut. Folks, that's not a cut. They have a block grant, just like UW and just like the K-12 is. And K-12, in fact, you look, there's more students coming in there, although they're funded on an FTE point. But we're holding their funding on even. We're holding all the agencies, and we're holding UW even. Now, if you look at this handout that we've asked for, the Section 100, and a couple things to note. This is the first page of a handout that shows the overall salary estimates. And look at the difference, for example, from CASPER for some of the others. Remember, CASPER generally focuses on faculty, full-time faculty, to deliver their services. And as a result, CASPER College is able to serve more people with an equal amount or lower faculty. Now, some of the other colleges are using adjunct attorneys, faculty, part-time. So their numbers jump up and down depending on how many part-time folk they have. But as a practical matter, that doesn't drive. If they wanted to drive have that faculty with full-time, they would be delivering those services with fewer faculty. But their over 100 series has been pretty constant and does not justify a 3% increase to their fixed cost to deliver these services. Now, when you go back to the chart that was given out by the sponsor of the amendment that shows the graph, remember this, that much of the enrollment, what you're seeing, alleged enrollment growth, includes professional development studies programs. These are the workforce development programs, in part supported by workforce services and other resources. So there are other resources out there. And it's not fair to take all those workforce development type projects, professional studies, and treat them as FTE, as though they have corresponding increase in their fixed costs. No matter how you look at it, this is an increase to their ability, accounts when it's a 3% increase. Now, folks, if you look at the other higher education institution, the governor recommended about a 3% increase for UW too. And that amount was taken out. And JEC did that, and ultimately it's a matter of consistency. Both of them were required to hold to their accounts, and the community colleges have to learn to do more with less, just as UW does. And that's simply and you can do that. If you've got these fixed costs, you can provide your classes get a little bit bigger. Your faculty might have to teach two classes instead of one, or whatever the ratio is. And that's what's happening at UW. That's what needs to happen at the community colleges. They need to begin to address, and to grow them now at 3% in light of the circumstances is not warranted.
Question being called in regard to Division 2. Division 2 being line 5 through lines 19 of the amendment. I'd ask the Chief Clerk to call the roll.
Barnard? Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon? Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Bonflatern?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 7 ayes, 23 noes.
Division 2, being line through 519, third reading amendment number 14, has failed. That amendment has failed in its entirety. Third reading amendment number 35, the Bebout amendment, I'd ask to be read in this time.
Senate file number 1, third reading number 35, budget affected 39, Wildlife Natural Resource Trust.
What's your pleasure, Senator Bebout?
Mr. President, I ask that that be withdrawn.
That amendment has been withdrawn, being Amendment 35, at the request of the sponsor. Amendment number, third reading, amendment number 7, that's the Scott Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, third reading, amendment number 7, budget affected, 44 Insurance Department.
Senator Scott, what's your pleasure, sir?
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this amendment is not of some of the great financial moment that some of the others are. It doesn't spend any new money. It doesn't take any money out of the budget. What it does is enable us to continue spending an existing appropriation to continue the Healthy Frontiers program. It changes the date on when that appropriation expires. And if you recall previous discussion, the money wasn't spent as fast as we thought it would be because we didn't ramp up quite as fast for a number of reasons, but we are there now. It's very similar to the bill that's on second reading, a good deal shorter, and it's precautions against accidents in a second house. I urge adoption of the amendment.
There is no increase in appropriation, but it does carry appropriation out of one budget into another. I believe that the yeas and nays would be in order.
Barnard? Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson? Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 19 ayes, 11 noes.
Third reading amendment number 7 has passed. Next amendment for our consideration, third reading amendment number 8. Perkins amendment, I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate file 1, third reading amendment number 8, budget affected, section 45, Department of Transportation.
Senator Perkins, what's your pleasure?
Mr. President, at this time I'd like to withdraw third reading amendment number 8.
Third reading amendment number 8 has been withdrawn at the request of the sponsor. We are now third reading amendment number 9. That's the Meyer Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 9, budget affected, 48 Department of Health.
What's your pleasure, Senator Meyer?
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 9 to Senate File 1 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. Mr. President, I think the discussion that we had on second reading was indeed very insightful and I think persuasive when it came to the topic of acquired brain injury waivers. This goes right to the heart of the matter, Mr. President, and provides $1 million for the acquired brain injury waivers. It does, however, Mr. President, it does do a deletion of the first reading amendment, which results in a net decrease to the budget of about $2.5 million. But I think the pinpoint accuracy of this amendment goes to those folks that need this type of care within the first 24 hours, first 48 hours, that golden window of opportunity that you have in these medical situations. And we're not unsensitive to that, Mr. President, and that's what this amendment does is go to those areas.
Thank you. Anyone else like to see this amendment? I'm going to call on Senator Scott. He was up first, then we'll go Senator Bebout.
Mr. President, speaking on and against this amendment, what this does is mean that we're not going to make any progress on the waivers in the child DD area and in the adult DD area where we have significant waiting lists. And the waiting lists are well over 6 months. We need to start making some progress in those areas. This is asking for the amendment we adopted in second reading, asked for 1 year, half the funding that the bill that the Labor Committee developed would have asked for, and just for 1 year, because we hope to get into these waivers and see if we can find a cheaper way to do them. And the second year, I think, would be a mistake at this time. But the first year, we need to make some progress. The original amendment took care of the adult brain injury as well. And I think we ought to stick with the position on second reading, where we do something with the waiting list in all three of these waivers, because, Mr. President, it is a very real need. So I would urge the Senate to defeat this amendment.
Thank you. Senator Bebout, I believe you were up earlier. Would you like to raise again? Okay. I saw someone over here for momentarily. Anyone else want to? Senator Nutting, go ahead.
Mr. President, just for clarification, the acquired brain injury waiver is for rehabilitation. That initial 24 hours is not paid for through the waiver. The injured people are stabilized out of Medicaid funds, so that the waiver funds are for further rehabilitation, not for that initial 24-hour care.
Other commentary, other questions? Senator Dockstetter.
Thank you, Mr. President. My concern is we heard several times about the need for funding for the acquired brain injuries, the waivers for that, but I haven't heard a lot of requests for the funding for the critical hours, but those media hours. I haven't heard a lot of feedback on that, so I'm curious to the sponsor why he would push that.
Other comments, questions? Go ahead, Senator Meyer, take your final shot.
Thank you, Mr. President. Indeed, the critical nature of the acquired brain injury does go to the first, as the good senator from Cheyenne alluded to, does go in the first day or two, but it also extends past that to the first 6 months. So you have to do that rehabilitation. And it's important to have that continuity of care in the first 6 months to the year, because the level of rehabilitation is going to be stopped after about the first 6 months to a year. You don't get much growth after that, but it's really, really important to get that first amount of rehabilitation and care in there. And that's what we do. So we go to that in this exactly. The good senator from Natrona County is correct. We don't deal with a child or adult DD waivers, but we do pinpoint, I think, where the money has to go, where it's most needed. And I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Thank you. Regarding third reading amendment number 9, I'd ask the chief clerk to call the roll.
Barnard,
aye.
Bebout,
aye.
Burns,
no.
Case,
no.
Christensen,
no.
Coe,
no.
Cooper,
no.
Dockstetter,
no.
Driscoll,
no.
Emmerich,
no.
Esquibel,
no.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
no.
Hines,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Martin,
Meyer, aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
no.
Bonflatern,
no.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 10 ayes, 20 noes.
Third reading amendment number 9 has failed. Third reading amendment number 10. I ask that be read in this time. That's the Rothfuss amendment.
Senate file 1, third reading of number 10, budget affected, section 48, Department of Health.
Go ahead, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 10 to Senate file number 1 and ask for favorable consideration. Mr. President, this is a very similar amendment to what we saw before regarding the AIDS drug rebate program. I wanted to provide a little bit of clarifying information because there wasn't a robust discussion and debate on it. And what I'd like to clarify is that, first of all, this is a continuation of the previous budget. It is not an increase. It was a mistake in the way the Department of Health accounted for it that made it appear that this was an increase in funds. It's a stabilization of funds, not an increase. And what has to happen to maintain eligibility for a couple of other programs is the concept of maintaining a continuity or maintaining a continuous effort in this funding. So if the funds go down, which is what is happening in the current budget, again, we're decreasing the funding to this program, which is not a maintenance of effort, theoretically, according to the contingencies in the federal program, then it risks shutting down the federal contribution. Now, I think the impression was that that was a one-to-one match, but the reality of what we would be doing here is over the past 6 years, I got the figures from the folks over at the chief financial officer there in the department, and over the last 6 years, the components that would be linked to this maintenance of effort has been about $6 million. So we've gotten about $6 million, 5.9 is the sum, $5.9 million in federal funds over the last 6 years. You can extrapolate that into the future. There's no indication that it would necessarily decrease. That's a typical figure. And we would be sacrificing that funding stream to save $200,000 a year. So that's a 5-to-1 leverage, federal funds to state funds, that we would be sacrificing if we don't pass this amendment. Again, it is not an increase. It is a stabilization of effort, and that's what we have to maintain under the federal statute to keep or ensure, I should say, Mr. President, that we maintain these funds. And just because I think the math here is important, I want to stress that it's a 5-to-1 federal leverage, roughly. Again, it could vary by year, but that's what it's been. 5-to-1 that we're looking at in this incidence. We could save $200,000 by costing ourselves $1 million. As my colleague from Albany County said the other day, folks, do the math. Thank you, Mr. President.
Other comments, Senator Scott? Go ahead.
Mr. President, I had a discussion with the director of the department on this particular issue, and he told me he thought it was a mistake, and I think he's right. And frankly, cutting this one out, and I understand it does cut the program out, you are asking for trouble, because the unfortunates that have this disease, it is very expensive because you have a cocktail of drugs that keeps them alive, and they're quite expensive, and most people can't afford it. So, Mr. President, I think this is one amendment we ought to adopt.
Senator Nicholas, go ahead. Mr.
Vice. I want to point out to folks that simply because there was not a $200,000 allocation or the department made a mistake in the budget process does not prohibit the department from paying this out of the rest of their budget, out of their remaining $1.9 billion budget, of which about half of its general fund. They simply B11 the funds, and so there's a mechanism for them to pick up this $200,000 expense. And I would note that typically we were reducing the second year by 4%, but once again, if the department determines that the 4% ought to come out of other programs, they're free to do that. But you're talking about $400,000 out of a very, very large budget. Nobody said that they couldn't continue this program. They made a mistake. Fair enough. But their budget is, believe me, is large enough to absorb this issue.
Senator Natty, you can go ahead.
Mr. President, I also speak in favor of this amendment. We have people throughout the state of all ages who have the disease of AIDS. Without treatment, AIDS is almost 100% fatal within 3 years. With treatment, people live nearly a normal lifespan, so that it's one of the great successes of modern medicine, and I think we don't want to risk having this $200,000 maybe come out of another budget. I urge that we pass this amendment.
Other discussion? Question being called. Third reading amendment number 10. Chief Clerk, call and roll, please.
Barnard?
Aye.
Beepout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert? Hicks? Hines,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson,
no.
Closing vote, closing. Vote closed. 18 ayes, 12 noes.
Third reading amendment number 10 has passed. Third reading amendment number 11, the Nutting Amendment, I'd ask that be read in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 11, budgets affected, 48 Department of Health.
Go ahead, Senator Nutting.
Mr. President, I move amendment number 11, third reading to Senate File 1. I feel like I have to talk real fast because I think you're anxious to vote this down. This amendment is an attempt to do some forward thinking to have us ready. Our neighbors have mostly legalized marijuana to some extent. And we have not, and I think we need to have our reasons why ready. There are probably 100 or more diseases that have been claimed to be cured or significantly helped by marijuana, but there isn't any medical evidence proving that. It also is likely that the ingredients in marijuana that are beneficial can be extracted and a person can have those ingredients without having the marijuana with its negative effects. I think it would behoove us to get this information ready in advance so that we have an idea of what decisions we might want to make about it and so that we have the factual information at our fingertips. I urge your passage. Thank you.
Any other? Senator Scott, go ahead.
Mr. President, this does assign a study topic to committee number 10. The normal procedure in a study topic is you go ask the management council and the committee submits a series of requests. However, once this is here, I suspect that if you vote for it, we'll have to study it. If you vote against it, I don't think the management council will think about giving it to us. So I think your decision is now right here, even though this is not the regular way to do a study. It does tell the department to compile the research, and there is some real uncertainty as to whether or not marijuana is an effective drug, particularly at controlling pain and particularly nausea in cases of cancer. And there's a number of people, and I think a number of medical sources, who believe it is. So you're asking for a study on a real topic where health knowledge is evolving, and I don't know what the answer to it is. So it does. Mr. President, have some monetary implication, because if we get enough of these Committee 10, we'll come asking the Management Council for more funds for more meeting time. So there's some risks of doing this sort of thing. But basically, I would say to the Senate, vote it up, vote it down. If you want us to look at it, this will make it do it. If you don't want us to do it, vote no, because I'm sure the management, I strongly suspect the management council will follow the results that we obtain here.
Question being called in regard to third reading amendment number 11. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. Third reading amendment number 12. I'd ask that be read in at this time. That's the Perkins amendment.
Senate file 1, third reading amendment number 12, budget affected 49, Department of Family Services.
Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 12 to Senate file number 1, and it would ask for favorable consideration. Mr. President, in Article 16, Section 6 of the Constitution, it states that neither the state nor the county, city, township, town, school, district, or any other political subdivision shall loan or give its credit or make donations to or in aid of any individual, association, or corporation except for the necessary support of the poor. And then it goes on and talks about some other prohibitions. What I bring to you is something, and this falls out, I guess technically when you let the lawyers look at it, it falls outside that because it's not general fund money, it's TANF money. This particular one, and if you refer, the reason what this gets to specifically is if you go to the cheat sheet and look at, I think it's a footnote in there, and there's a specific nonprofit that goes out and it does great work. And we can't use their name in here, but they do great work. They have I think they've got a group here in Cheyenne. I think they have a group in Casper. I think they have a group in Douglas and some other places. And they do great work. And I don't denigrate that. I appreciate anybody who goes out and works with this group, and their purpose is to help young fathers become stand-up fathers and recognize that they have children and support their children and be good fathers. Which is a great, as a laudable goal. But my record, if I remember right, and I'm going strictly off my memory, is my first year down here, this number was about 60,000. And every year it's increased, and now we find ourselves with $411,000 in the budget. If you go back and look at your own communities, every spring and every winter there is there's a certain group that raises a bunch of money for people in your communities. If you go back and look at your communities, TANF money would be helpful and welcome to any of those. That would help young people, help those individuals who come from from a difficult socioeconomic situations, helping young people. Helping young mothers, young fathers, young kids. TANF money can be used for any of those types of things. And when I look at this, I struggle with it because I don't know why this group deserves it so much more than any of the other groups in our communities. So I brought this amendment, Mr. President, not to get rid of it, but to cut it in half with a message. Hopefully the message would be you cannot look to the state government each and every year for this type of appropriation, that you need to do your own fundraising like the other types of entities out there. There's ways to apply for these things and get these things for grants through the Department of Health or the Department of Family Services. They can go that route as well. So it doesn't mean it's foreclosed off. But I think Mr. President, it just seems to me that it's gotten out of hand, and I would ask for your favorable consideration on this amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. With respect to this program, just a heads up to folks, what the JAC position was, in fact, to increase the funding to push the program to other places in the state. So that was the reason. So, I mean, if you cut it in half, you probably hold it back where it was in the community, most in the southeast. What they're looking at, too, is to use state funds to expand the program to take it to other places in the state. I was a no on the vote before for the reason stated. I simply think it's bad practice to appropriate money to one entity. But in that respect, that was the reason for the increase, was to actually expand the program.
Senator, is there any other commentary in regard to this? Question being called in regard to third reading amendment number 12. I'd ask Chief Kirk to call the roll.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Bonflatern?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote?
Anderson, aye to no.
Anderson, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
Third reading amendment number 12 has passed. Third reading amendment number 13, the Christensen Amendment. Read that in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 13, budget affected 49, Department of Family Services.
Senator Christensen, go ahead.
Mr. President, the body, this amendment, I can just go right to it here, and has to do with Department of Family Services, and the amendment is through the period ending June 30th, 2014, they shall limit the number of residential treatment facilities and group homes certified as child care facilities. The purpose of this, it was discussed earlier in the year, and there were some oversight maybe on the presentation to get to it, but what we know and what had been told from the parties involved is roughly half the beds are empty, and they're just, while they may not all be in the perfect location, they'd like a little bit of time to work with the existing stock that's in place before we start building more facilities.
I believe you need to move that amendment before you...
Mr. President, I'd move... Amendment 13 and third reading to Senate File 1.
Okay. Motion was on third reading amendment number 13, Senate File 1. Is there any further discussion? Senator Bebout, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I understand on the residential treatment facility, but you add group homes. And, you know, I look at in Fremont County, our group homes and some of the things we're doing up there, and it's, they are full, and I'm wondering why you're wanting to prohibit group homes specifically.
Is there any other questions? Senator Christian, why don't you wait a bit, and we'll get some of these other folks in ahead of you. Go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this is a carryover footnote that we've had in the last budget. We've moved it there, and the civil answer is that for all practical purposes, we pay for all the rooms that are built. It's a growing part of the budget, and for the last biennium, or actually longer, we have capped the number of construction and where we've gone away from the certificate of need practice. But it is true. It may be that true that in a particular community you might have a full one, but the next community over, they're not full. But we're paying for all the beds for all practical purposes. So sometimes people have to go where the rooms are.
Other comments, questions? Go ahead, Senator Christensen. Okay. Senate File 1 regarding third reading amendment number 13. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
I believe this amendment has passed. Third reading amendment number 16, the Bebout Amendment. Would you read this amendment in at this time, please?
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 16, budget affected, 67, University of Wyoming.
Senator Bebout, would you like to speak to the amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 16 to Senate File 1. Members of the Senate, if you go to your bill on page 41, you'll see on line 4, we decrease the amount by $20 million under the general fund state aid portion. And after line 5, we insert School of Energy Resources and increase it by $20,400,000. Mr. President, what this does is we talked about getting the School of Energy Resources into to have better transparency, to have it a general fund item. And what this does further allow us to look at it separate from the university, and it will be its own budget and its own line item, and I would ask for your support.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President,
simply conforms the budget that you see to what the JAC recommendation is. The JAC recommendation was to move the $20.4 million from AML into general fund on a separate unit. And inadvertently, it was wrapped into the block grant for UW. It should be portrayed as a separate unit with a separate line item. So this actually implements the JAC recommendation.
Senator Scott. Mr. President, we have in general given the university a block grant and let them manage their own affairs. We've made an exception in the medical area, which is such a different animal than the rest of the university. I'd like a little discussion as to why the School of Energy is so unique we should split it out from the block grant as well. It seems to me we're starting to creep back toward going away from the block grant philosophy, and I'm not sure that's a wise thing to do.
Go ahead. Is there anyone? Yeah, go ahead, Senator Nicholas. I think.
Thank you, Mr. President. With respect to this issue, the School of Energy Resources was a new program initiated by the legislature to push certain research at the university in an area where it was the resources were controlled by an appointed board, the School of Energy Resource Council. And the idea was to prevent the university from essentially taking these and morphing them into their budget, having the dollars morph in, if you will, into other colleges, and to dilute it through the School of Energy or through the block grant process. So it was the purpose why we were using AML funds to keep them segregated, to make sure that program stays and focused, and a specific dollar amount pledged, if you will, towards that process, and to not allow the university to take these monies and move them out throughout their other budgets.
Senator Escobel?
I was just wondering, what effect, if any, would this have with their relationship, the School of Energy Resources, the relationship with the Board of Trustees, and what's to keep other schools, the School of Law, the School of Business, from wanting to be treated equally or differently?
Senator Bebout, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I'll try to answer that question. The big difference is that we have a council appointed that oversees essentially what the School of Energy Resources does. And as my colleague from Albany County talked about, this is a program, if you look at the mission and the strategic plan of the School of Energy Resources, it's not consistent totally with what a university does. There's a lot more involved in it relative to promoting our minerals and our coal and our different things and what we're trying to do under that guise of it. So it really is a separate thing and different from the traditional educational component of a university.
Go ahead, Senator Jennings. I guess Senator Bebout, yeah, had.
Thank you, Mr. President. And additionally, on the board at the Energy School, there's also a representative of the trustees, and that has become a very strong link as that member from the trustees sits on the board. He's become very active, and he takes a strong recommendation back to report back to the trustees. And if the trustees have any problem with what the board's doing, that gentleman definitely brings it back and lets the board know. So I think there's a good relationship there with that member on the board, and it all seems to be working well.
No up or down in the funding, but I think that this merits a yeas and nays in regard to the abrupt change in direction of the fund. So I'm going to ask the chief clerk to call a roll on this.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout? Burns,
aye.
Case,
aye.
Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Escobel,
no.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas, Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern, President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Third reading amendment 16 has passed. Next amendment for consideration, third reading amendment number 32, the Nicholas Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 32, budgets affected, 67, University of Wyoming.
Go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 32 to Senate File 1. This is what a 3% increase looks, and I withdraw the amendment.
That amendment has been withdrawn at the sponsor's request. Third reading amendment number 15. This is the Meyer Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 15, budget affected 101 Supreme Court.
Senator Meyer, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 15 to Senate File 1. Ask for your favorable consideration and would refer to the co-sponsor, Senator Peterson, for explanation.
Any other conversation in regard to this amendment? I see Senator Peterson standing.
Okay.
Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just explanation again. I've had the privilege of sitting on the Compensation Commission, and we've had that Hay study. And most of the agencies have worked very hard in performing that survey throughout their agencies and accomplished that. Came to the JEC a few years back and were able to get those raises. The long and short of the story is the judiciary was slow to join that survey, that Hay study, and did not implement that survey within their agency. And so they came to the JEC wanting that same raise with the executive branch, and we told them, no, you have to go through the Hay study and the salary survey before we were to award that increase in salaries. And so they did. And this is just the amendment to bring that branch of government up to the rest of the branches, the 91 percentile, their salaries. They kept their word. They did their salary survey, just as the other agencies have. And this is why the amendment is here this year. They are an agency that's a year behind. They folded and did the survey, and these were the results. And this is the amount that's needed to bring them up to that 91 percentile. So,
thank you. Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just point out that the actual amount to get the judiciary staff, this is not the judges, the staff, to the 91% was the $1.8 million. The significance of the $1.2 million, this is the amount that was line item out of the governor's, out of our budget last time that would have been allocated to the judiciary. It was about $600,000 line itemed out. The effect of that line item out was to send that same amount to the executive branch, which is utilized for increases. And the reason, as you'll recall, is because it said X amount of dollars to be allocated as follows. And by line item out the judiciary of 600, that 600 fell back to the executive branch, which was utilized. So this would hold them harmless. It would not get them to the full 91% of market because it takes $1.8 million to do that. Having said that, just a reminder that there's still 500 executive branch employees who themselves have not hit 90% or 91%.
Other comments? Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I think fair is fair. This just gets the judiciary up to the executive level.
Thank you. Ready for the question? Question being called. Third reading amendment number 15. I'd ask the chief clerk to call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines? Jennings,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
no.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote?
Barnard,
aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 9 ayes, 21 noes.
Third reading amendment number 15 has failed. Next amendment for our consideration, third reading amendment number 17, the nutting amendment. I'd ask that be read in.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 17, budget affected, 205, education, school finance.
Go ahead, Senator Nutting.
Mr. President, I move amendment number 17, third reading to Senate File number 1. This appropriation does not need to be approved because we have already approved that. It was a footnote in the budget, and we've already voted for this appropriation. It was added by the Appropriation Committee. But in the footnote, it simply said that this amount, $200,000, was allocated for an anti-bullying program. What this amendment does is to just specify how that $200,000 will be administered. It calls for it to be administered by the State Superintendent of Public Instruction. I did talk to the representative who had been the sponsor for this amount, and it was his suggestion that it be administered by the State Superintendent, and I talked to her. She also agreed that that was the reasonable mechanism for administering this $200,000, so I ask for your support.
Questions, comments? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm just curious, if we don't pass this, what happens and who administers it? Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Burns, go ahead.
Mr. President, I was wondering if I could get a little more information from somebody about how this money is distributed. Is it distributed at equal amounts to each school district? Is it done by population of the school district? Or is it just specialized in those areas where they're actually having a problem, or just some of the bigger school districts?
Go ahead, Senator Nicholas, and then we'll go to Senator Landon before the sponsor stands.
It would have been nice to have had more time to develop those criteria, but as a practical matter, the $200,000 is in the budget. It's earmarked for bowling program. And, you know, what I was hoping is we'd say a program with grants not to exceed $5,000 or $10,000 apiece. This is better than what's in the budget. It'd be nice to have more, but as a practical matter, what it says is the state superintendent, you're responsible for administering the grant program. And as a practical matter, with respect to that, often the state superintendent receives money to be distributed among 23-plus, actually more than that, districts, all the school districts, and they have to devise a program to make sure there's a fair allocation. So you could pretty much see the way it happens is they say any district that wants it, apply for it. And ultimately, if every district in the state applies for it, then you take the total number and divide it by the applicants. I suppose they could say, well, this school didn't do a good job with it, this one gives more. But it provides more specificity than we have, so whether you like it as a full implementation or not, it's better than what's in the budget, and it does not change the appropriation.
Senator Landon, did you want to speak to this?
Well, Mr. President, yes, thank you. A couple of years ago, the former speaker from up in the northwest corner helped to pass legislation, which I thought required all of our school districts to be doing this. And so I have to admit I was a little bit surprised when I saw a line item come through. You know, now we're specifying and trying to get a little bit more detailed as to how we want the state superintendent to spend this. But I guess I'd like to know if my memory is faulty, or did we not pass a bill that said to the school districts out there, all 43, you're supposed to be doing this. That's part of your block grant already. And now we're going to put another carrot out there. So
I'm going to go to Senator Cohen, and I'll come back to Senator Nicholas, if I may.
We did indeed pass a piece of legislation
brought by the former speaker from Park County, and I think it was maybe 3 years ago, and it says that every district will develop a bullying plan, so they're required to do that.
Okay, and now, Senator Nicholas, would you like to speak any more? Senator Nutting, I guess we've gone around back full circle. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't really have anything to add other than to answer the question before about if we don't pass this, how is it to be administered? It seemed like the allocation that we already have approved was just kind of hanging out in space, and so I don't think there has been any direction for how that's to be used without this amendment. So that's why this amendment was brought forth.
I believe this just provides direction. So with that, I would ask, okay, Senator Bernard. Now, Senator Bernard, I would remind you, after the sponsor makes their last statement, by tradition, we normally don't challenge. Thank you. All those in favor of this third reading amendment, number 17, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. This amendment, third reading amendment 17, has passed. Third reading amendment 18, that's the Esquivel amendment. Would the reading clerk read that in, please?
My phone, my thing.
Go ahead, Senator Esquivel.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, move third reading amendment number 18 to Senate File 1 and ask for your favorable recommendation. Mr. President, this is basically brought to you in the interest of more public discussion and transparency and all those kind of things. It's in regard to the proposed new state office building, which will be over here west of us, the old Safeway store. And I'm not sure exactly where we're at with that process, but it's going to be a real big ticket item. And this amendment basically just states that prior to the final completion of the Level 3 design for the State Office Building, that the State Building Commission hold public hearings and receive public comment in order to get more participation and more involvement by the community. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator, or Mr. Majority Floor Leader, go ahead.
Mr. President, on and against amendment, ladies and gentlemen, early on in the session, you would have received one of these booklets from the Level 1 and Level 2 feasibility report concerning the state office building. And if you go through that, and on page 10, shows you the number of community meetings that have already occurred. One in September 7th of 2011, November 1st of 2011, and January 23rd of 2012. We've hosted a number of, as you can see, community input for the Level 1, Level 2 design of the state office building. This is a legislatively directed program, and I don't believe that it's within the purview of the State Building Commission to be then holding hearings on what is now in the budget, which is design Level 3 for a state office building. Doesn't mean that people don't have input, and they will have input, Representative Illoway and I are on that design committee and have been since day one. I would urge you to resist this amendment. There's a lot of work that's already gone into this process. It has made its way into the budget, and it is an important endeavor for us to continue. And so I suggest that you resist this amendment.
Further discussion or questions? Seeing none. Third reading amendment, number 18. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment 18 has failed. Third reading amendment, number 19, the Schiffer amendment. I'd ask that be read in, please.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment, number 19, budget affected, 67, University of Wyoming.
What's your pleasure, Senator Schiffer?
Mr. President, I'd like to withdraw that amendment.
That amendment has been withdrawn by the sponsor. Amendment 19 has been withdrawn. Third reading amendment number 20, that's the Peterson amendment. I'd like that read in at this time, please.
Senate File 1, Third reading amendment number 20, budget affected, section 67, University of Wyoming.
What's your pleasure, Senator Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number 20 to Senate File 1, the budget bill, and ask for the body's favorable consideration. This amendment, Mr. President, basically addresses the need for our performing arts building on the UW campus. It has been their number one priority, still is. As they presented this to our JAC committee, we informed them it was a tight budget, and so they settled for half and trying to match half. The problem is, and if you'd refer to the handout that I had handed out here of concerning the UW Performing Arts Building, is that Level 1 and Level 2 studies have been done already. Part of that study was in the effort of moving the Fine Arts Building, constructing the Fine Arts Building, which was constructed by no general funds, all bonded money. So the Fine Arts now is out of the Performing Arts, hoping that that would create more room in the Performing Arts Building. The problem is that the Performing Arts Building, I think, was constructed in 1971, and it's got some problems as far as the practicing rooms not having acoustical value to them, and so practicing makes it awful hard. They're small. There's few in number, and so our students are having a hard time getting practice rooms when they need them. The stage is sinking, and so that's being jacked up so it doesn't disappear completely. There's just some problems with our performing arts building. In fact, in the if you look down those bullets, the theater and dance, the students are rehearsing in the hallways, dancers using public restrooms for changing. And it's so bad that I guess the certification board has paid the visit to the UW campus and have threatened to pull the certification for our music program altogether, our performing arts program. So therein lies the problem. They feel that the match of the $16 million would be difficult, if not impossible. They were willing to try, but the problem is the two-year stay that we have received from the Board of Certification when they will come back and revisit the UW campus and then probably pull that certification from our performing arts program. I guess a note of interest, the performing arts program, that includes the symphony, dance, theater, band, music, choir, all those type of arts. 70% of everybody enrolled in that program at UW, 70% come from the state of Wyoming. And I don't know if there's another degree that we offer at UW that has that type of participation from in-state students. But it's huge. And so when we talk about funding different programs and activities at UW, I'm always looking at how many students in-state are we supporting with this program. And this is a big one. The problem is that certification comes up in question. We've got the stay. We've got the deference for 2 years. But in 2014, they're going to be back. And most likely, if these improvements aren't made, that certification will be pulled. Now, the bottom question on that bullet, will an appropriation of less than the full amount of $32.4 million, again, this project consisted of not just the renovation of the old facility, but also the construction of an additional facility, adding square footage to the Performing Arts Building. We've sacrificed the addition, reduces the appropriation by $2 million, putting that $2 million towards the engineering and technology building, reducing the total appropriation to $14.2 million, and allowing the university to spend that money immediately on the renovation, trying to salvage that certification. The bottom question is, will it salvage it? We don't guarantee it, but it's an effort. UW can commit to using available funds, advance private fundraising efforts. They'll still continue to try to raise those funds, and then we can come back in 2 years and look at the addition as a project and the possible match then. But right now, it's critical that we get on with this renovation of the existing facility and save the certification if we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'll be revisiting this same issue and amendments to come, but I guess I direct everybody's attention with some concern to lines 15 through 22, providing that not later than September 1, the university shall submit to the governor the joint appropriations a plan for the renovation. And, you know, it seems to me that you begin to have the difficulty of what is, you know, what do you do if you're the JAC when you receive that plan? Are you required to vote it up or down? Obviously, if you did that, that would be an improper delegation, but it will be dealt with later.
Other comments? Senator Schiffer, looks like you're up.
Mr. Chairman, a question I'm not sure. I just don't know what it is, but who's this guy certifying, and where does he come from, and what's he represent? How credible is he? I just never heard of. I just don't know what it is. I need to know who's certifying what. Mr. Chairman, and I also was concerned about the lines specifically 14 through 23. And I share the concern. I don't know what a committee can do. And so I think I would ask to divide the amendment.
I mean, that is divisible. Go ahead.
Actually, I'm not sure it is. But I just don't know what the committee's going to do if they're meeting, and if they get it, they can't act on behalf of the legislature. But, Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to ask.
I understand. I heard no division there. Go ahead, Michael, or excuse me. It's getting late in the day, Senator Von Flater, and I apologize for that slip of the tongue.
No apologies necessary, Mr. President. Lines 14 through 23, I don't think they do nothing. They give no direction other than to say that they'll tell us what they're going to do. And, of course, that's related to the fact that they asked for $32 million and we're only giving them less than half of that. I will tell you that the $2 million that's in lines 31 through 33 going to which I believe is the engineering building addition, although the language is a little bit engineering and technical building, I think is how they say it. The university only asked for 1.25 on that, so, and there's already $15 million in the budget for it. So that's pretty well funded. I will tell you that the engineering building was priority five. This has been priority one. This performing arts building has been priority one. Part of last year it was priority three or something, and this year it is priority one. A lot more money than what we're giving them. I ask that you do vote for this amendment. It's a great compromise, and get them started, and that match would be very detrimental to them, too, if they had to go past the certification point where they may lose the certification because we are not letting them start. So I ask for your favorable vote on this one.
Further conversation. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and for the amendment. And Mr. President, what I wanted to do was address or try to address some of the concerns about accreditation and talk about the importance of it. I was trying to look up the specific accrediting agency for schools of music and couldn't find it at the time. But the concept behind it is there are national accreditation organizations for different colleges. I'm most familiar with College of Engineering. We have what's called ABET accreditation. That's a national organization that basically comes in and reviews your program and says, this is or this is not a satisfactory engineering program at a national level. This counts or this doesn't count. If you were to lose that ABET accreditation for engineering, you really wouldn't have anybody coming to that engineering program anymore. It's that important. Now, I can't, unfortunately, speak to the importance of it for a school of music, but my understanding is that it's the same type of concept. If you don't have that national accreditation, you're not going to be attracting students, and the students that you would graduate, if somebody did go through the program, would not have graduated from an accredited program, and that's something that's going to be seriously considered when they're applying for a job or looking elsewhere outside the state. So that accreditation certainly matters, and it's something that we really wouldn't want to sacrifice or lose. So for that reason, I think we need to find a way to support it and to make sure that we have continuation of that accreditation, Mr. President.
Any other? Senator Peterson, I believe this will be your second time.
Yes, for my second time, Mr. President. Thank you. Just to piggyback off that, the importance of that accreditation. We have students obtaining degrees to teach music on the high school level or the college level enrolled right now And if they lose that accreditation, then they will have graduated from a non-accredited school. So the problem that this causes is immense and important to these students that are attending UW. Not just the fact that we might not be able to attract further students towards the music program at and the performing arts program at UW, but it's a project that we need to address, and we need to get on it. And UW is the number one priority. It still remains the number one priority. And so I'd ask the body's consideration and vote aye on this amendment.
With that, there's considerable movement of money in this, and I would ask the chief clerk to please call the roll. Third reading amendment number 20.
Barnard. Bebout.
No.
Burns.
No.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
No.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geist.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
No.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Meyer.
Nope. Nicholas.
Nope.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Nope.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Nope.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Fleitern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 18 ayes, 12 noes.
Third reading amendment number 20 has passed. Mr. Majority, floor leader.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand at ease for purposes of a five-minute break.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries. We are at ease in approximately 5 minutes. Senate will come back to order. Next amendment for our considerations, third reading amendment number 28. That's the Nicholas Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 28, budget affected, 67, University of Wyoming.
Go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 28 to Senate File 1. Ladies and gentlemen, we already passed this amendment earlier this week, and what this does is go back. You recall this was the Corbett pool money that we put into front forward the College of Engineering Construction, but the last amendment was unclear with respect to whether it went into planning and actual construction or how it operated. What this does is make sure that the dollars are placed to the state treasurer for distribution for the university for the College of Engineering upon a plan that comes back that is approved by the legislature. But in the meantime, it also allows the university to begin working towards securing matches for that large project. So it provides more opportunity for matches, specifies as for construction, and holds the money in the straight treasurers until the final legislative action.
Other comments? I believe this amendment only provides direction, and I would ask all, for a voice vote on it. So all those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 28 has passed. Next amendment for our consideration, third reading amendment number 29, also the Nicholas Amendment, and I'd ask that that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 29, budget affected, 67, University of Wyoming.
Go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, this amendment actually continued the matching component for the performing arts, given the prior action to remove the match. I would respectfully withdraw this amendment.
Third reading amendment number 29 has been withdrawn at the request of the sponsor. Third reading amendment number 30, that's also the Nicholas Amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 30, budget affected, 67, University of Wyoming.
Go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 30 to Senate File 1. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does is provide for funding for the performing arts without a match at the rate of the amount of $13.4 million. For the additional dollars, it provides that $1.8 million would be utilized for the Sheridan Watt project, a university-supported project to engage in programs in Sheridan. And it also takes $1 million out of the original 16.2 for the Wildlife and Natural Resources Trust income to be expended for pine bark beetle remediation. This is principally on the eastern side of the state to ensure that the bark beetle doesn't move into Wyoming to protect. So it does three different things.
Questions? Senator Landon, go for it. Go ahead, please.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. It certainly does a lot of things, this amendment. I'm especially in favor of getting rid of that bark beetle. But I did have a question. I didn't really feel like on second reading, fellow senators, that we got a very good explanation of exactly what the situation is in Sheridan. You know, other community colleges in our state have had a relationship with the University of Wyoming, have actually provided all kinds of space for university programs, have purchased buildings through community college funds and utilized that space on behalf of the university. And I'm not sure, and maybe I just wasn't listening carefully enough, but I'm not sure exactly where this building came from. Is this already a state building, and then we're going to expend further funds to acquire our own building? And so that's one question. And then the second question is just, what has been the relationship up in Sheridan with regard to that Watt Agricultural Programming Center to date? Going to need a little more clarification on that. Thank you.
And I'm going to call on Senator Von Flatern, and then we'll go from there. Senator, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Similar question to the good senator from Casper. Was the Watt building, I think on second reading it was like $5 million or something. So is this only a down payment, and then we're going to put some of it to renovating and then work to buying it? So if it was being attempted to be sold to us last time, is it? I assume it's not our building. So those questions.
Go ahead, Senator Scott, before Senator Nicholas stands for a second time.
Mr. President, question on the bark beetle effort. And my question is really what's going on here. You can have an effective program at remedying bark beetles, certainly with the Extension Service and some of the experts in Casper Mountain. They've done quite a job. Biologically based programs, it involves a fair amount of thinning, that sort of thing. Quite a contrast with the federal system where they can't do anything, and the result is the bark beetles are running rampant. Is this an attempt to control the bark beetles on the university's trust lands? Is it an attempt to do further research? And if so, why is it in the capital construction budget? What's actually being proposed here? Mr. President, I'd like to have a little more explanation of what's going on.
I believe I'm going to call on Senator Driscoll, and then I'm going to go to Senator Schiffer. Go ahead, Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. President. Great question, and it's got a great answer to it. What has actually happened is this is a piece of a huge cooperative effort that's come about in the last month or so. We've been allowed access onto the National Forest for the first time to actually proactively address bark beetles in the Black Hills National Forest. As all of you have seen, if you live in any corner of Wyoming, you've seen what bark beetles do. They've literally devastated not only our viewshed, but our watersheds, caused immense damage. The Black Hills is fortunate enough that we've had an active timber industry, and the bark beetles are just getting really active in the hills. We're trying to start a proactive program working cooperatively with Crook County commissioners, Weston County commissioners, Crook County Weed and Pest, Weston County Weed and Pest, Nyman Sawmills, I'm not supposed to say our local sawmill. Between the county governments, Weed and Pest, we've got pushing $500,000 put up. The governor's office has worked very close with us in trying to come up with a program that mirrors a program that's been running in South Dakota, very effective. South Dakota spent in stem the bark beetle invasion. It's been a major impact on South Dakota's economy. They've lost a huge chunk of the forest over there. They're losing the timber base that supports probably the biggest industry in our part of the hills. This is our oil industry. It's renewable. We've got three sawmills in the Black Hills. One of them lays in my hometown. Should we not do anything with the bark beetles, we know what the end result's going to be. We've all seen it. Our forest turns dead. We lose our sawmill. We lose, in the Black Hills, 500 direct jobs, plus or minus, sawmills, 750, I suppose. 1,500 indirect jobs that tie to it. We've got furniture manufacturers, all kinds of other stuff to go, and they all go away with the timber. We have a real chance in Wyoming. They double or triple every year, and we got a real chance to get in. South Dakota ran out of money in the last 10 days. This is a shovel-ready as you're ever going to hit. I hate to say that, but they're ready to move their crews into Wyoming, bring their people, and they're going to literally start cutting and blocking trees, and we're going to get this on the ground ahead of the spring fly. I'm hoping to be able to come back next year and tell you that you guys have saved a huge chunk of an industry that ties through the blood of the entire Black Hills. It's our tourism base where I live. Who wants to come to the Black Hills when there's no live trees in them? It's been a tough deal. You guys got a chance to have a huge win. There is another appropriation coming behind this that's not spending money. is transferring money across. We're going to spend probably close to a full $3 million on the effort on this. We have a real chance of winning, and I really urge you to support us on it. I have questions as well.
I'm going to go to Senator Schiffer. Senator Driscoll, just a friendly reminder, earlier in your presentation, using a proper name in conjunction to a company, so just a caution. I think Senator Schiffer was up there in line, and we'll go to the others.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I'll try and answer some of the questions. First of all, the University of Wyoming has one professor up there as part of the ag program. And what this building does, this accommodates the second professor up there for the four-year degree program that they want in Sheridan. UW, one of their criteria is they want to own the building. This building was built by a couple foundations in the community. I did go with them and visit with them. They built the building, donated it to the college. They're okay with selling the building, particularly if it enhances the ability to offer a four-year program in Sheridan in ag. As a matter of fact, I've got a commitment from one of those foundations to contribute $75,000 per year towards this program to make it work. It is a chance to move what is now a degree program. You'll still be able, if you want to go stay at Laramie, you can do that. But if you are based in Sheridan, instead of just taking your 2 years and then going and getting an AA degree, you can go down to Laramie and get it. This would say, no, you can stay in Sheridan and get it. We've got, in terms of outreach, we've got the university's farm up there for people to use. That's what the experimental farm is focused on. This is ties right in with that. That's why the university has the one professorship up there. But to offer the degree, we need both professors based in Sheridan. if this goes through, the university will own the building, which is one of the things they wanted. It's got to be theirs. They want to own it. They want to do some renovations to it, and that makes sense to me. That's what they do. In terms of the price tag, we'll work around that with what's in the budget. The 1.8 brings the total for the building and the renovations to 5.3. The balance is already in the budget. This is, I believe, a good program, and we're trying to meet basically the university's criteria to base that second professor up there. It's got community support, and when I say support, it's not just letters from my mother. It actually is cold, hard money. So I ask for your support on this.
I'm going to go with Senator Coe, Senator Bebout. He was popped up earlier, and I'm going to...
Just back to what my tall colleague from Natoma County brought up, I'm trying to figure out what this $1 million bark beetle remediation amendment's doing in this budget here. And I don't think anybody really explained that to me. Now, maybe I'm missing something. But what is that doing in the University of Wyoming 067 capital construction budget?
Okay, Senator Bebout, you've shown interest here.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to speak to the need of the money to mitigate the park beetle impacts that we're receiving in our state. And I will tell you, members of the Senate, that in the 70s and 80s, there was a conscious decision by the Forest Service to eliminate and remove and stop the development of our forest in terms of timbering. And back then, we had 14 or 15 up-and-running lumber mills in our state. I think today we have one, possibly two. And that failed policy by the Forest Service not only lost all those jobs and those industries in the state of Wyoming, but now go up into Fremont County and go up to Dubois and look at the devastation that you see in the Wind River Mountain. Go down to Medbow, and my colleague from Carbon County's area, and see what the devastation is down there. We have an opportunity right now up in the Black Hills where they had a different philosophy back in the 70s, 80s to try to at least do some responsible harvesting. And right now with the situation that exists up there, and we heard from the people at an ag committee meeting at the start of this budget session, that we can, in fact, have an impact on that. So the money spent today, I think, on those kind of things to mitigate the impact of these park beetles will go a long way to stop the northeastern part of our state from looking like what we see in the Med Bow and in Fremont County. And also part of that is also looking at Bighorn County, because up there in Bighorn County, that forest up there hasn't seen the huge impact. They have a little different type of pine tree up there, and so I also have an opportunity to try to get up there and mitigate it. And as I understand it, if you get in there early, have responsible harvesting, and go after where the beetles are, you can stop this, and it's really a good idea. We don't want the rest of our state to look like what my colleague from Carbon County and my other colleague from Fremont County and I have to look at all the time.
Thank you. I believe Senator Jennings earlier, and then we'll go to Senator Dockstetter. Go ahead, Senator Jennings.
President, just a short question. Has there been appraisal done on this ag building and what ag building in Sheridan? And if so, does it resemble what the purchase price or selling price would be?
Senator Dockstetter, go ahead, please.
You said in relation and to the park beetle and all that goes on there. I'm just trying to, before we vote on this, could we get a summary statement about how we're dealing with the university's construction money and an ag building up in Sheridan and bark beetles on the eastern side of the state? Just trying to bring it all together so I understand it.
Senator Landon, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. To go along with my good friend from the West, in that same regard on construction monies and et cetera, I understand that that building up in Sheridan does belong then to the college, but I guess if we're going to purchase that, then technically we would still be purchasing that from ourselves. And I guess I would wonder, purchase price would go where? Apparently to the college's foundation up there. I guess I would just like, if we're going to spend $1.8 million, just would like to know a little bit better about where that goes, Mr. President. Thank you.
Are there other questions on the floor? We have two advocates here. Whichever advocate, I think that the good senator from Johnson County probably would speak.
Mr. President, for my second time. And I'll try and answer these questions. Yes, there is an official appraisal on it, and it came in to buy the building, $5 million. And I'll be glad to provide that to anyone who wants to see it. I've got a copy of that appraisal. In terms of where the money goes, I can tell you where the money goes. Money goes to the college, and that's part of the money they're using to build the academic center that we built, that we approved a year ago. That money is going into that building to provide all the stuff that they need in that building. It doesn't go to the foundation. It goes to the college, and they've dedicated it to their academic center, which is classrooms, particularly laboratories, and those kind of things. That's what it's for.
Okay. Before I call in Senator Nicholas for his final time, Senator Hicks, you've been up and down a couple of times, and we'll go to Senator Burns. Go ahead, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, members of the committee, I'm not going to speak to the appropriateness of where the money's coming from the bark beetle, but let me tell you something. We're going to pay now or we're going to pay later. What fundamentally you have to understand about this pandemic that's come and swept all the way through the Rocky Mountains from Alaska all the way down to Arizona is we're going to pay big prices as a society. Because the real costs are yet to be incurred, and your costs are going to be 20 and 30 years out, and you're going to be spending tens of millions of dollars out of your state budget every year to fight these catastrophic wildfires, because you look at every fuel model associated with these beetles. The real explosive cost associated with is down the road. And we will be fighting fires, and we don't have enough money in state budget we're going to be dealing with already when we look at Fremont County, Park County, the Shoshone, the Bighorn National Forest, and all these others. So the idea here is, look, let's perpetuate an industry, let's protect a resource, and let's reduce our costs down the road. But we are going to spend tens of millions of dollars fighting fires in this state. This is just happens to be one place where if we take a little preemptive action, we may decrease the long-term exposure to the state by doing this. So I would encourage your favorable.
Okay. Senator Perkins, I think that Senator Burns, would you like to? Okay, he's yielded. Go ahead, Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to see if we could divide this amendment so we can vote on these separately. The division would be lines 1 through 29, I believe, would apply to both Division 1 and Division 2. The first division would be lines 31 through 34. Second division would 31 through 35. And the second division would be lines 36 through 39. Like I say, 1 through 29, I think, applies to both.
I believe we're okay to go with the division. Would you like to go ahead just a minute, Senator Von Platter? Go ahead. Speak to the division.
I was looking at this earlier myself, Mr. President, and I'm wondering if the first division – deleting the Peterson third reading amendment passes, which has 14.2 in it, and then the others all pass. Do we have more money going out here than what is in the budget presently, which is 14.2? So...
Let's, as we go into this, let's revisit the divisions so we have a clear understanding as to what the divisions are under what Senator Perkins has requested. So, Senator Perkins, let's start over by naming those divisions again, and we'll take a moment to look at those divisions
okay.
that you requested.
Thank you. The first division would be lines 31 through 35, or 30 through 35. And the Division 2 would be lines 36 through 39, and then 1 through 29 and 40 through 43 would apply to both.
Mr. President.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the issue that's visible. Those do not stand on their own.
Let me turn your speaker on and then make your statement again.
Mr. President, I take the issue. It simply is not divisible because of this. The deletion of the Peterson Amendment, what this talks about is a $16.2 million allocation that's reallocated. And so if you take out one of the allocations, you leave the other parts dangling.
I believe Senator Nicholas, that appropriately addresses the concern expressed by Mr. Senator Von Platern. I see half the name with this box there, and so it's become Michael, and that's not appropriate. But anyway, we can't change that. So with that, I would rule that the amendment's not divisible, it seems to be. At least. Back on the amendment, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I just wanted to clarify a couple of additional things regarding the Watt Building, one of which is that the Watt Building, it's not just the building itself that is of use to that program. It's the fact that it's located next to a ranching facility, the Adams Ranch, which has offered a 50-year lease to the university for $1. That's valued at about $5 million of donation that goes along with that Watt Agricultural Program for the four-year bachelor's program. Which is certainly, once again, we're leveraging funds. We're not just looking at the straight $5 million. And further clarification, my understanding is that the $5.3 million total is a breakdown of $3.3 million for the building itself and $2 million for renovation and additional infrastructure. So that's just a clarifying point to inform the decision.
Now, Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on for the amendment. Speaking specifically to the Watt Building at Sheridan College, I'm glad the good senator from Albany County got up and clarified that. He actually, now I can speak less. The current university experimental farm is out east of town, and they're, for the last few years now, they've been having some serious water problems with the quality of the water. So it's actually impacted the ability of that experimental farm to to do its job. What part of this entire deal with, and so they've been looking for another location. That's why it's such a good symbiotic relationship to come in with Sheridan College, and they've been negotiating this for a number of years now. They're going to have much more room on the field immediately south of Sheridan College. That's the Adams Ranch that the good senator from Albany County was talking about. It'll be proximate right to the ranch. I'm sorry, right to the college itself. The other thing I wanted to mention, the diminutive senator from Natrona County was asking about the building and the idea of the state paying itself and so forth. I just wanted to reiterate to the Senate that a few years back, I think it's 8 or 9 years ago when the Watt Building was built, all this legislature did was provide the authority to Sheridan College to build it. We didn't provide the money. The money was provided significantly by a large donation from a foundation and actually a couple of different foundations, one of them being the Watt Foundation, which is why it's called the Watt Building. So maybe the state may be buying it from itself, but the fact is it was money that we didn't put in the first place.
Senator Nicholas, this is perfectly allowable because you just addressed the division. So go ahead for your second time.
Can I just wrap up, Mr. President? The folks, the half of what was thought to be the $32 million appropriation that the university requested to rebuild the entire performing arts, put an addition on. And the JAC's recommendation was that what we want is the university to go out and seek a match to complete the project the way it was designed. There is no budget for something less than the $32 million. Any budget that you prepare essentially comes out of this budget. These are all come out of Section 3 of the budget. The Section 3 is the capital construction, and there's principally one-time expenditures. All of these are one-time expenditures. As we march through the budget, the last items that we deal with are the one-time capital construction budget, so this is where the monies are in these. Could we have done a better job and said, well, the $1 million ought to be in another budget or another section of the CAPCON and put it up in Department of Ag or in the governor's office? Sure, but it really makes no difference because the direction of the funds is clear, it's stated, there's no ambiguity. It is in the proper Section 3 part of the budget, which are one-time dollars, and in light of the fact that as we go through the session, there are a couple other high university demands, or high priority was the Sheridan College remedy, and we have this other million-dollar need for the pine bark beetle, which was in another bill that was not appropriate in that bill. So ultimately, this is the place where the funds are. We've got $16.2 million allocated, something less than the full construction. It actually provides for the 13-4 for the performing arts. It funds one-time dollars for Sheridan College, and it funds one-time dollars for the pine bark beetle, all three top priorities, all three looking for resources, and this is an appropriate location. I urge your support.
Third reading amendment number 30. I'd ask the chief clerk to call the roll, please.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Martin? Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fleitern?
No.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 22 ayes, 8 noes.
Third reading amendment number 30 has passed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 31. That is also a Nicholas amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 31, budget affected 67, University of Wyoming.
Go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading 31 to Senate File 1. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the exact same amendment, except that instead of paying the 13.4 towards the renovation of the performing arts facility, it puts it in the same construction account that we previously described and talked about in the state auditor's office for the construction of the engineering facility. Ladies and gentlemen, I was, over the time that I've sat in the JAC, I was surprised to learn that, in fact, when you look at the long-term plan for the university, that the highest priority was the renovation and reconstruction of the College of Engineering. Now, it is true that this administration on this year put the their highest priority with respect to current dollars being the performing arts. Having said that the university master plan had as its top priority the College of Engineering. That was the top priority, and it was skipped by the last administration for reasons that we probably never know altogether, but it was skipped. And it was skipped, and we put a lot of resources into the visual arts, having skipped it. And then the question is, where do we go from now, knowing that we skipped the college that probably is going to generate the most jobs, the most diversification in the state of Wyoming, and the most resources? And here's how I come down on it. We have two more AML allocations if Congress doesn't choose to move them out. If they move them out, it just becomes difficult. But whatever it is, we're on the tail end of the AML dollars that we've used to build these facilities. And given the point that there's a good chance that we only get two at the most, and we may not get both of them, we might not get either one of them, you now have to say, let's go back to our overall master plan. What do we intend to do, and what's most important? I acknowledge that the college, the performing arts, has maintenance issues and needs to be addressed, but I point out that we're putting $19 million of major maintenance every biennium and have put in major maintenance at that level, even higher levels, over the last 4 or 5 years. The College of Engineering is an older building. There are three components, one going back to the 1920s, one and the other two. If you walk through that building, you look and ask yourself whether or not you're going to be able to recruit the best and the brightest professors, research folks, those people that are going to lead this state into the next 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. I gave an outline here of just it's actually a PowerPoint with some other documents showing the number of federal and non-federal dollars that are recruited through the chemical engineering, the engineering companies or entities. And then if you look at the next is a PowerPoint presentation showing that when you look at what the engineering and the sciences bring in, it's $85 million a year of research. And, folks, we can do better. College of Engineering bringing in $10.2 million. They're the ones that are starting the new businesses. They're the ones that are generating our folks to go out and devise and prepare a new generation of jobs, diversity, those sorts of things. And if gas prices return, or if AML dollars come back, and we're in the same position that we were when we were able to board the visual arts building, then we'll come back and do the performing arts. But, folks, if the only dollars that we have are those that are projected, it is expected that this College of Engineering remodel, we're talking in the range of $100, $150 million. And that's the investment you need to make sure that the state goes forward. That's the first obligation. It was the first priority on the master plan. And it should be our first priority to make sure that that funding gets done before we lose the golden egg, which are our AMLs. And if we're able to meet that obligation, then we come back. In the meantime,
The university has $19 million worth of major maintenance that they can do a variety of things, including go back and work in the that facility that's the performing arts. I urge you to support this amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Bebout, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would urge the body to vote aye in favor of this amendment. And I, like many of you, had an opportunity to go over to the university Saturday, and we actually toured the College of Engineering, and we went to the performing arts and went to the visual arts. And obviously, the visual arts, most recently completed, is an incredible facility. And I think we can all be proud of what that is and what it's like. But I went to the engineering building, and they have what's called the sawtooth portion of it, and there's a like an L that was built in the 70s, and it's a reasonable building, and it's pretty functional. Then you walk in the middle of it is this building that was built in 1924 called the Sawtooth. And quite frankly, members of the Senate, I was embarrassed, and I'm embarrassed because I hadn't seen it before and realized what it was like, although when I went to school at the College of Engineering, it was there. But it's really embarrassing, and when you try to recruit the kind of people my colleague from Albany County talks about to go to our engineering college, and you walk into there, we can just do better. And then if you try to offset this against the performing arts, and then I went to the performing arts, and there's clearly some needs there. But they just have had the visual arts move out. So you have a lot of space. Quite frankly, what they did is when the visual arts moved out, they just left it. And I think that some of this major maintenance component can go a long way to satisfying, at least temporarily, some of those concerns that we have about the accreditation and being able to allow those people to do what they do in the performing arts. So I really think if you look at the priorities of the university and where this was the number one priority for many years in their master plan, that this is something we should pass. And let's talk about the major maintenance component and then try to get them in there to fix some of the things that really need to be done temporarily and put them back on there. Because ultimately, we do need to address the performing arts. But I'm just saying today, now, I think the College of Engineering would have a higher priority.
Senator Von Slater.
Thank you, Mr. President. I hope you resist this amendment. The last one did a lot for a lot of people, so that's fine. I went back and looked at the last two bienniums 4 years back, and the College of Engineering was not on there at all. I looked for 2 years ahead. It's number five. Performing Arts has been there partially last year, and it is on there, number one priority this year. I don't know about the master plan. I've not seen it. It's first reference in the last week. We all took the tour over there. The Performing Arts building is something to be ashamed of. And the performing arts students, most of them are double majors. So you're not talking about just bringing people in that may or may not have a fit in our industry in this state, or may not come out with anything more than you want fries with that hamburger type job. You're talking about people that are double majors. One of the singers that entertained us at lunch Saturday was a chemi. I mean, these are the kind of people you're getting. And when you don't have that other side of the academics and the arts together to attract these type of people, you're just narrowing it down. You might as well be a technical school that gives a four-year degree away or gives you a four-degree. No way is it giving it away. That's a very tough course. But what I'm saying is you need both. You need a balance. And right now, when the number one priority by those that know what they need is the performing arts, that's what we should be supporting. And major maintenance, every year. You're asking for a special project here. That's more than their major maintenance will cover. Major maintenance is to keep that university and the auxiliary buildings that sit in other towns in shape so we don't lose our assets, our value of our assets. So that's major maintenance. It has nothing to do with trying to overhaul what's left of that performing arts building. So I hope you resist this amendment and we go ahead with the last one and take care of what they do need.
Senator Landon, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, am on and against the amendment, not because I don't appreciate what our appropriations chair has told us. I'm sure that's all factual, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate, you know, the good senator from Fremont County, but to me, there's a little bit bigger policy issue here, senators, and that is that what we're doing in this session, it seems to me a little bit more than in my previous years down here. We seem to be reaching down and jumping up over the top of, in this case, the Board of Trustees. They tell us what their priority is. And we're saying, well, we know you want salt, but what we're going to give you is pepper. Look, I have a young man who just moved back to this state, and only 4 years ago, he's a graduate of the college that this money would go toward. And I agree. I've been in the College of Engineering, and that building needs our help. There's no question about it. But in this case, on this year and in this session, the UW Board of Trustees and their administration are telling us that their number one priority is this performing arts building because of accreditation purposes. Think about this. I understand that there seems to be some urgency on the mine land funds. But what happens if you allow that accreditation to just simply go away? What kind of damage is that going to do to the university? I think it's a bigger policy issue. And, you know, it just gives me a little bit of queasiness to be jumping in and over the top of these governing boards and saying, you know, we don't care what your priorities are. We're going to establish your priority. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. I saw some, yes. Senator Schiffer, go ahead, please.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I rise also in favor of this amendment. And Mr. President, you'll recall a couple of years ago we put up, this state put up, I believe it was $20 million lump sum for the NCAR computer. You'll find in this budget, and we're committed, this budget we're putting an additional $1 million in. We will put $1 million up every year for the next 20 years to develop that program. It's the engineering students. That's now we're building the students that are going to use that and will take advantage of what we've done. It doesn't pay to build an investment such as we did with NCAR and then say, well, that's great, but unfortunately we don't have the people to utilize to the maximum our access. And remember, we got preferential access to what we can do with that computer. The university does. And these are the students in the engineering college that know how to talk to that machine. So I urge you, support this amendment, because those are the students that are going to take advantage of what is now a $30 million investment by the state.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. And along the lines of what, and I rise in favor of the amendment, and along the lines of what Senator from Johnson County is along, those of you that were here and went to all the meetings on NCAR before we got it, part of what they said was because we had created the School of Energy Resources, that was one of the points that they took into consideration to bring the NCAR here. They said the dedication and the commitment by the state and the university to move forward with that kind of engineering program was what got that here. And we haven't received the benefits, as much benefit from that computer as we're going to. But if we stop now, as the Senator from Johnson County has pointed out, if we stop now and we don't get that crop of kids headed towards that research and those simulators and everything that is going to come out of that, then we've stopped short of our commitment on what we need to do with that. That we're already on the road to that commitment. We've spent money on it. We've sent people out there to convince them to come here. We need to follow through on that commitment. And when times get tough and cash goes sparse, these are the decisions that we have to make. These are the kids that are going to walk out of that university with good paying jobs. So I would hope you would support this amendment.
Senator Rothfuss, we're getting a bit circular here, so see if you can break us out of this.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and against this amendment. Mr. President, I have a degree from that College of Engineering. I teach for that College of Engineering. And, Mr. President, if I thought this was an or statement where we can have either the performing arts or the College of Engineering, then you can rest assured I'd choose the College of Engineering. I hope we're not in such dire straits at this point that we can't have an and in this situation. If we are, we've got some big concerns. And the reason that I am against this particular amendment at this time is that we are not simply a tech school. We are not simply an engineering program at the University of Wyoming. We have a diversity of degrees, a diversity of programs, and a diversity of students that we bring to the University of Wyoming. And we have to meet all of their needs. And it is true that the folks who graduate from the engineering program end up with good jobs that serve our state, but that is not all we educate, and that's not all we do. We're in a situation right now where the accreditation of one of our programs is at risk. I can assure you the accreditation of the engineering program is not at risk. I can also assure you that if we have to put off the engineering program by another year, which isn't even necessarily the case, we're fully funding their design. I believe everything's underway. It's just whether or not we want to forward fund their construction costs instead of rely on future AML funds. But nonetheless, we're going to be ready and able to utilize the NCAR facility. That's not a problem. We're going to be fine. We still have great students, great faculty, and excellent resources. But I certainly agree they're not enough, Mr. President. We need to do a lot for this engineering college, and it needs a lot of investment. It needs renovation, and it has fallen behind the times. But we're in a crisis situation when it comes to the performing arts, and we're in a management situation when it comes to engineering. So once again, Mr. President, I would say vote down this amendment. We're going to have enough money to fund both. One of them needs to be funded soon. The other one needs a long-term view and a vision where we spend an awful lot of money over the years. And I'm going to come back here, and I'm certainly going to be on this floor, Mr. President, next year and the year after that, asking for an awful lot of money for that engineering college. And I hope you'll all support it when I come back. But at this time, let's go against this amendment. Let's fund our music program, Mr. President.
Senator Driscoll.
On and for the amendment. I think we have an urgent need at this time on the college engineering. It's been a long time. The building's much older. I'll be pretty brief. There's been a lot said. I will support your bill next year on the fine arts building. Thank you.
Senator Escobel.
And Mr. President, speaking against the amendment, and earlier it was stated that, we didn't want to get into a situation where we were pitting one agency against another agency. And here it seems like we're pitting one college against another college, one field of education versus another field. And I think based on what I've heard in terms of what where the greatest need is in terms of accreditation, I think my good senator from Albany County said it quite eloquently. So I would ask you to defeat this amendment and let's
Senator
go forward.
Senator Nicholas, I think it's this this debate is an excellent one. It's an eloquent one, but there's an element of redundancy in it, and I hope we can go ahead, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Briefly, because I know we've debated the world out of this, but if this amendment passes, and by the way, it's on the amendment and against the amendment, but if this passes, what are we left with? We don't have enough money to do much with the engineering and technology building, certainly far short. So we go 2 years without any improvements to either project. To me, that's an important point. We do have enough money to do renovation with the performing arts, their number one priority. This is the copy of the commission request to the University of Wyoming. The commission requests a report on the University of Fine Arts planning process with regard to solving facility issues for the Department of Music, specifically issues of acoustical treatments, adequate space, and HVAC problems, the relocation of the Department of Arts to the new facility, and renovation of music facilities. And they've given them a timetable to meet. So that's what they're up against. It's their number one priority. I don't know the history of the engineering and technology. I know it's an important program at the University of Wyoming. And when we have the money, maybe next budget session, we can look at the AML money and devote all of it to engineering and technology. But this little pittance of $14 million isn't going to touch that project. Thank you.
Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess, once again, do the math. We have two more AML cycles at best, maybe 2.5. And of those AMLs, about half of them are committed to research through the coal, liquids, gas, research SER projects. And so if you allocate even half of those, each one, to the College of Engineering, and you add these dollars where now, you hit the mark. And if you look at this chart, folks, and I say to my colleague from Albany County, the compression is here. And it's unlikely we're going to take Department of Health dollars to pay for the College of Engineering. And when you look at priorities, the priority is always the long-term master plan created by the trustees that provided that the College of Engineering was next up, and it got derailed. It got derailed. The long-term plan got derailed by essentially the chief executive officer at the time. And this is an opportunity to reinstate the priority that was designed. Now, you talk about embarrassment, I'll tell you. I've had children go to this College of Engineering. I've been down to College of Engineering in Colorado. And believe me, when you go down to the one in Golden and you look around, you'd be embarrassed to look at our program versus what they're committed to their engineers. When you have a situation where 64% or better of your revenues come from the oil and gas extractive industry that requires engineers and will promote and allow expansion of the university, what's the statement when you go over to the visual arts building that's got better facilities than your engineering college? When you put the money into the engineering college, you are going to attract more higher qualified professors. You're going to add to the research capacity of the university. You're going to add to the capacity to get federal dollars and grow the university in its wealth and capacity to support the entire university. And believe me, if I knew that we were on going up in 2006 up the high rise, we'd be doing both, and we would be doing both in this year. But don't, be honest with yourselves. Look at the fiscal profile. We may get one more building out of these AMLs. And it'd be a shame not to come out with one of the best engineering colleges in the United States and make sure that we're growing the university in the capacity to provide programs, the quality of our students, the capacity to bring in new research projects. If you did the tour, you walked around to what those professors, remember the wind, I don't know if you saw the wind tunnel, one of our leading research programs in a room that's got about 6-foot clearance, got dust around it. It's just a horrible situation, and you're trying to recruit world-class people to do world-class research that's going to change the direction of the state. And this is a situation where the priority was derailed. Reinstate the priority, and I submit to you, this is a decision that may make a difference 5 and 10 years. It will ensure that we can make the improvements to the College of Arts or the Performing Arts. Let's make sure that we're diversifying our economy so we can continue to make those kinds of investments into the future. This issue with respect to the Performing Arts, that building's been there since the 1960s. And you know, folks, a year or two is not going to make any difference. But changing your College of Engineering, putting it back on schedule, and expanding your programs where you can diversify, create jobs, bring in more federal dollars, more research dollars, that's a game changer. And that's an opportunity you cannot afford to lose. I urge your support of the amendment.
In regard to third reading amendment number 31, I'd ask the chief clerk to call the roll.
Barnard. Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen. Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
No.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
No.
Esquibel. Geist.
Aye.
Hastert. Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Martin.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
No.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
No.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
No.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Von Flatern.
No.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 17 ayes, 13 noes.
Third reading amendment number 31 has passed. Next amendment for our consideration, third reading amendment number 21. And I'd ask that be read in at this time. That's the Driscoll Amendment.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 21, Section 304.
Senator Driscoll, would you move and speak to the amendment?
Mr. President, thank you. I move the third reading amendment number 21 of Senate File 1. This is a revenue neutral. This is the second part of pine beetle money. This is a stops the reversion of money that would revert in July of grasshopper funding money in the Department of Ag. It's been done in cooperation with the Department of Ag and the governor's office. Basically, they'll come up with another round of money coming up. They think the grasshoppers are not going to be a huge problem, so we're waiting till July on this reversion. They will, at the point in time that they have determined that the grasshoppers are not going to be a problem, this money will revert into pine beetle bark remediation. It is pretty critical to be a part of the first $1 million that we've already put in to make this program complete and work the way it should to protect our forests. I'll stand for questions with that.
Question being called for. This is a direction rather than a raise or a lowering, so I'm going to just call for a roll or a voice vote. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 21 say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 21 has passed. Next amendment for our consideration, third reading amendment number 36, and I would ask that that be read in at this time. I believe that's the Hastert Amendment. Go ahead.
Senate File 1, third reading amendment number 36, budget affected 307, employee benefits.
Senator Hastert, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 36 to Senate File 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. As you can see, this is the merit pay basically brought that in. Amounts that are in here are exempt from the retirement system. This is one-time money. I think we've all talked about the need to value our employees without breaking the bank worrying concerns about funds for the future. So without a lot of debate, Mr. Chairman, I just certainly, or without a lot of fanfare, I mean, just to ask you to support this. You see what it is. It was based on the merit pay that was presented to us earlier in the year, and just ask for your support.
Questions? Comments? Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
Mr. President, I guess on against the amendment, folks, we all this money has to come from somewhere. And I just ask you to have the long-term vision looking out 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years until we figure out where these gas prices are going to be. In the end, when we create reserve accounts, when we create opportunities to make sure that we are insulated from the ups and downs in our budget that we know we have, what we're doing is protecting the general fund and the jobs of people over the long run. We understand our employees. We understand their needs. We want to make sure that they're at 91% of average, but we have put more money into their health care programs. We put more money into their retirement programs, and we've done a lot for our employees when we've not forgotten about them. In fact, the largest increase in this budget happens to be for retirement and health insurance that we've already talked about. So the largest increases have gone to state employees.
We've not forgotten about them, and we have taken care of them. Having said that, we also need to make sure that we can sustain our budgets over not only 1 year, but 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years. And we see things on the horizon that may tell us that we need to constrain. We need to plan to make sure that we don't have to lay folks off a year from now or 2 years from now. And these reserve accounts, the rainy day account, in the end, what they do is insulate our budget, protect us, and allow us to continue the programs that are driven by state employees. We've not forgotten about them, and in fact, every decision we make here is designed to make sure that we can continue our government services at a level that we're proud. I'd urge you to vote no.
Other comments? Senator Rothfuss, go ahead. Senator Hastert, we'll get back to you.
Mr. President, I'm for this amendment. Mr. President, I think this amendment has some features that were things that we've been concerned about. We obviously don't want to maintain long-term additional funds. In other words, we don't want to grow government. This is a one-time expenditure. We're also concerned with the goldenrod that we have right now as far as what the budget's going to be. But this is shown as being effective June 30th, 2012. So what it's effectively going to do is come out of the current general fund, which would preclude the funds that would be in this from pouring into the rainy day fund. So at that point, we're not decreasing the goldenrod, or we're not affecting the goldenrod, and we're giving a one-time bonus to recognize the fact that a lot of our state employees, our university employees, and our community college employees haven't had a raise for a while. This will give them that bonus merit pay and enhancement as it's shown. And, Mr. President, I would also indicate that the salary enhancements under this subsection shall not be included in the 24 supplemental budget request, nor in the 2015-16 standard budget request of any entity receiving the amount. So this is not a long-term budget implication. It's a one-time, and I'm certainly sensitive to the fact that we have to have long-term planning, but we can't have long-term planning at the expense of the present to the degree that sometimes we do. And I think this is a good compromise. It's not a tremendous amount of money relative to what we're looking at. We're going to end up with perhaps over $300 million left in this budget that will pour into the rainy day fund. And in this instance, I believe we're looking at somewhere around $12 million of that dollars applying to bonuses. And the final point, Mr. President, is that the governor put into effect some merit pay, as you recall and this body recalls, and then we're not funding that merit pay provision. So we had a situation where the state employees incorporated and adopted a process that allowed them to facilitate this merit pay, and then we came back and gave them $0 for merit pay, which is a little bit disheartening. This backfills that original governor's request as a further means of trying to facilitate that merit pay concept that was important. So, Mr. President, I support this amendment. I hope the body does as well.
Go ahead, Senator Schiffer.
I want to make sure I know what I'm voting on. As I read this, it does not include the state employees, not the judges. I'm worried about the state employees in the judicial branch. I believe they are not included again. But somebody, would you clarify that for me?
Any other questions before the sponsor raises up for the second time? Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Yeah, and Mr. President, you know, we've had a lot of discussions about retirees and cost of living. I would have thought that, you know, to be fair, we might have included an ad hoc COLA in here if we only had so much money for one-time distribution to state employees. We might have considered our retirees, too. I'm just wondering why we didn't.
Other questions of the sponsor before he takes his final shot? Go ahead, Senator Hastert.
Yeah,
final shot.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good senator from Casey's right. We don't see the judicial. We had some other amendments here. I was hoping that would go through. It probably should have been included. Members of the Senate, you know, if you can look at goldenrods, and then you should also be looking at Craig reports. You know, we're poised to put close to $1.1 billion into savings into one account or another, between the permanent funds or the rainy day accounts. We got a lot of money that isn't even profiled that is on the Craig report that just flows either constitutionally or statutorily that we're going to be putting in there. And I kind of personally have a hard time going home and saying, you know, we're going to put $1.1 billion into savings yet we're not going to do anything. This is one-time funding for these. It's as was stated by my colleague from up front here, that it comes off of the transfer into the LSRA off of this year, and there's still a substantial amount of money going into the LSRA, and I'd ask for your favorable support.
Question is, in regard to third reading amendment number 36, I'd ask the chief clerk to call the roll.
Barnard? Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Amrick?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines? Jennings?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Johnson?
Landon?
No. Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Bonflatern?
No.
President Anderson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 8 ayes, 22 noes.
Third reading amendment number 36 has failed. Next amendment for consideration, third reading amendment number 22, the Scott amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Senate file 1, third reading amendment number 22, budgets affected. 318, University of Wyoming Athletics Study.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President. This is a little different from some of the ones we've seen before. Mr. President, this is a chance to save $250,000. Mr. President, this is the baseball feasibility study issue. And what this does is it takes that feasibility study section entirely out. Mr. President, there's two possibilities with where this baseball study may be going. One, it may be an attempt to reinstate the program as it was, and you heard the discussion the other day. You can't do it half the season in Laramie because you can't play baseball in the snow. And, Mr. President, our university is at 7,200 feet. That is an advantage when we deal with football teams and basketball teams from sea level, but it's a disadvantage when you deal with baseball because you do have snow cover. The other possibility is that somebody has a notion they can build enough support to build a dome stadium of some kind. And, okay, we're getting some information, Mr. President. That was been tried once before, and the population of the state will not stand for it and will not stand for the expenditure. So either way, Mr. President, spending $250,000 on a study is a waste of money. And I would urge us we adopt this amendment and get that out of the budget.
Questions, comments? I'm going to go with... Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
Thank you. You know, I'll tell you, folks, I think I've said it before. I don't want to keep repeating it, but I am. And that is that when I began as representing my district, I had a strong belief that, all your money should go to academics and that the athletics were sort of a sideline that, and you know what you realize is that, our Constitution set up one university, and we want a good university. You want your children to go there. You want them to go to a prestigious university. And there's a reason why when you see
advertising. When your basketball teams play, you get national recognition. You see a lot of effort into the advertising that brings in great students from around the country. It adds diversity to the university. It's a learning component. And for all of us that have raised children, reared children in the last 10 or 15 years, you know that the athletics component is a real essential part of living. It's an essential part of the of growing up and becoming a productive member of our society. When you see there's $100 million being generated by football programs that are supporting universities around the country, you know, one university, $100 million. This program, this baseball program, existed for a long time. And it wasn't that expensive. It got eliminated because of Title IX issues, not because we couldn't afford it. And it exists at a time where if you don't have to go very far to see University of Wyoming standouts that went and played professional ball, that whose children came to UW and went on to excel, and all that prominence came back to the university, and we're missing it for a pretty low investment. Those Title IX issues, there's a lot of opportunities now to address those to make sure that we have sports equality and equity. And there's ways to do that. But like I say, this program existed for a long time. And there are a lot of folks that went through that program that brought a lot of prestige to the university that was positive, enhanced the quality of learning for everybody. These programs are important, and they're not that expensive.
Senator Peterson, go ahead.
It is important. Is it fluff in a tight budget? Sure. There's a lot of other fluff in this budget. There's a lot of other fluff in this budget. And, you know, I keep asking the question. This just didn't pop up this year as I came to Cheyenne for the session. I keep asking the question, why, what happened, and why can't we do this at our university? And the answer is just no, too expensive. And what are we talking about for price? What's the dollar amount? Well, nobody can answer that because we haven't done the study. We don't know. So how do we make a logical decision if we don't know what ideas are out there, what cost is involved? Is it possible? I don't know. But all I've been getting is no, no, no. And I'd like to have more information. That's why the study. The study's not just going to involve the University of Wyoming. It's going to involve our community colleges, our high schools, Legion, Babe Ruth, Little League. Everybody that plays baseball or watches baseball is going to be involved in this study. And the reason is that we want the opportunity for Wyoming students to be able to maybe play baseball if they want to, or play in the pep band, or be an engineer, or become a lawyer. But we want them to come to the University of Wyoming. We don't want to continue to lose 60 to 70 students every year graduate from high school playing baseball for the University of North Dakota. And we do have students doing that because they pay them to play baseball for the University of North Dakota. But why not for Wyoming? So with that, Mr. President, I'd urge your defeat of this amendment.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment and against the baseball. Mr. President, I think we had some good examples here, but I think the big example that we're missing, our kids aren't participating in the teams now. We're not even recruiting. The teams that we have are not recruiting out of Wyoming. And when you go and look down the list, there's not a whole bunch of Wyoming kids' names on those sports lists. They're going out there and they're finding the guys that they think for their budget might win a game. And maybe we should start worrying about them winning a few more games before we worry about spreading their athletic dollars back out to another team. And there's no way that you can tell me that in this study, and we start to talk about snow, that we can convince whoever runs the baseball outfit that they can come up with an orange ball that they can find in the snow, kind of like those fancy golf balls. I'd hope that you would support this amendment.
Hey, I'm going to go with Senator Christensen, and then we'll go back to Senator Burns. Go ahead, Senator Christensen.
On and against the amendment, President, we've had a kid from Jackson just recently that's playing pro ball. Great kid. He had to go out of state to finish his education when it came ready to learn more on baseball. So let's give him the opportunity to stay here. Please defeat this.
Senator Burns, go ahead.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment. The problem I have is the amount in this amendment. It's not going to cost the university $250,000 to decide if we're going to play baseball and women's softball. That's something they can do in-house for $12. It's not going to cost that much. One of the speakers against the amendment was saying, oh, this isn't just for the university. This goes down to community colleges and high school and Little League and all that. Well, that's not what the amendment says. I'm sorry, that's not what the bill says. The bill says baseball at the University of Wyoming and women's softball at the University of Wyoming. That's it. $250,000 for that. When this was first put into the budget bill, the question was asked, what's this for? And one of the answers was to study facilities for a baseball team. And one of those ideas put forward, you know, there were all kinds of architectural possibilities and so forth. We just had about a 45-minute discussion here over the needs at the university for capital construction. The chairman of the Appropriations Committee just said we have maybe two and a half cycles of AML funds left, not enough money for both engineering and performing arts, and now we're going to spend $250,000 asking the university to look into baseball. That sends a message, in my mind, that sends a message to the university saying you will bring back baseball. If we're going to spend $250,000 asking them to study it, that's a dictation. I mean, they're not dummies in Laramie. They've got nuance. And I don't know if baseball's a good idea or not. I like baseball. I played baseball. But this is not a good idea. The amount of money is not a good idea. Let them do it in-house. If the demand is there, and if it's there from students, and it's there from high school students, they'll bring it back.
Ready for the question? Senator Scott, go ahead. Final pitch.
Mr. President, we've had an informative debate. And, Mr. President, I agree with the chairman of the Appropriations Committee that athletics is an important part of a first-class university, and we want a first-class university. But you also have to look at the practical matter of what works. You know, football works at the University of Wyoming. Basketball, played indoors in the winter, works at the University of Wyoming, and Mr. President, especially works well because they go out and recruit Wyoming women for the team. Skiing works at the University of Wyoming. Baseball doesn't, because you have to play it outdoors in a season that, in the college season, you're subject to snow and spring blizzards, and you can't play it for the first half of the season in Laramie, Wyoming. Just the nature of the elevation. So let's use a little common sense here and save $250,000.
Question being called, third reading amendment number 22. I'd ask the chief clerk to call the roll, please.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks? Hines, Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 19 ayes, 11 noes.
Third reading amendment number 22 has passed. I'm not sure what inning we're in, but it's darn sure late in the game. Third reading amendment number 23. That's the Perkins amendment. I'd ask that be read in.
Senate File 1, Third Reading Amendment Number 23, Budget Affected Section 325.
Senator Perkins, go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. President, I move Third Reading Amendment 23 to Senate File 1. Ask for favorable consideration. What this does, there's a couple here in a row, but what this amendment does is the first one of several that will offer some alternatives. What this amendment does is right now we've got a, as we look at the $123 million for distribution to local government, it right now it's a 60-40 split. 60 goes to direct distribution, 40% goes to consent money. What this amendment does is it simply changes the it changes those amounts. The first one here, I believe, is changes it to a 90-10 split as opposed to a 60-40 split. It changes it to a 90-10 split. The reason I did this, I've talked with my folks, some of the folks back in the municipalities in my area, and they say they're consented, they're consent moneyed out. They'd rather have it in direct distribution. And so this first one is a 90-10 split, and ask for favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. President.
Right, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. On against the amendment. You know, there's no question that the large populations are consent moneyed out because they don't want to share. And what ends up happening is that the more money you go through the direct route, the more that you don't provide for large projects. The idea, the consensus is one is to make capital projects. It's also to force the county, local small communities, and the large community to sit down and work out how you're going to afford some of these larger projects. And certainly the municipalities always want more direct because they're the ones that collect most of the direct money. But for in my community, if a community like Rock River needs to have a project that's going to take $1 million, all the direct funding in the world is never going to fund that project. And so you have to have some consensus dollars to shift between the county and the city and the local communities to figure out how are you going to move some of these large projects.
Senator Bebout and Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a question of the sponsor, and you know, we've been doing this kind of ratio that's presently in the budget for a long time, and I think that allows a lot of smaller communities and projects to move forward because that process allows the funds to be available. Have you had a chance to go back and look and see how those spends were funded previous to this relative to the smaller areas being able to utilize them and get projects done versus if you go to this, they will really not be able to get it done?
Now, Senator. Okay. Any other comment in regard to this amendment? Senator Perkins, would you like to?
This is the first one of several. This one's a 90-10 split. Obviously, if there's less money in the consent money, there's less money for those consent projects. But ultimately, when you do that, our ratios have been all over the place. This is probably the most aggressive ratio we've been on a direct versus this amendment would be the most aggressive we've ever been on direct versus consensus. But those are the arguments you have before us. We've talked about those. We won't hassle it. Won't argue it anymore. So. Call for the question.
This has to do with an allocation that doesn't affect the appropriation. I think it's just a distribution formula, so I would call for a voice vote. All those in favor of Third Reading Amendment Number 23 say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That Amendment 23 has failed. Third Reading Amendment Number 24.
Next.
I'd ask that be read in at this time. That's also the Perkins Amendment.
Senate File 1, Third Reading Amendment Number 24, Multiple Budgets Affected, Section 325.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Third Reading Amendment 24 to Senate File 1. Ask for the body's favorable consideration. You didn't like 90-10. How about 80-20?
Question being called. All those in favor of Third Reading Amendment Number 24, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. Third Reading Amendment Number 25, would the reading clerk read that in as well?
Senate File 1, Third Reading Amendment Number 25, Multiple Budget Affects Section 325.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Senate File or
Third reading amendment 25, Senate File 1, and ask for the body's favorable consideration. This one is the 75-25 split. You know, you can laugh about that all you want, but seriously, when you look at this, your cities want to have direct money. They don't, you know, and what this does is this leaves $33 million for consensus money, but it bumps a little bit. It bumps it from $81 million to $101 million and change for direct money. And most of your you go back and talk to your municipalities, most municipalities would rather have more direct money than what they're getting under the budget bill as it currently stands. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, thank you, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, and on and for the amendment, when I visit with my folks back home, they tell me the same thing. They'd like a little bit more money in that discretionary account. Getting back to the big construction projects, a lot of the little communities go to SLIB, go to RUS to take these dollars and go and leverage those to get the water treatment plants done, the water and sewer projects. So I would concur with the good senator from Natrona County that what I hear is they want more money moved over into this discretionary account. So I would ask for your favorable consideration.
I'm going to go to, I believe, Senator Nicholas, and then we'll come back to Senator Chris. Go ahead.
Amendment, folks, not only is it an issue of the notion of putting all to direct is go ahead and build your governments, hire employees. The idea of construction dollars was it was one time, but also this. Those construction dollars going through the community are important. Those are what are, if you live next to contractors that build, if you live next to people that are working for companies that build, people that have jobs, the notion that those people are forgotten is not a very appetizing opportunity or message to take home, that we're going to put it all into direct dollars into operations but not into construction projects. And we need to continue to maintain our constructions. There's no question that given your elected bodies, given the opportunity, will always put the money into their operations. And part of what we need to do is make sure that we have a healthy amount of construction dollars going into the industry or going into the construction area, one-time dollars. It's also a message that these are one-time, and they are for construction, and we need to do the major maintenances.
Further discussion, Senator Christensen, go ahead.
Mr. President, rising on and for the amendment, so much of what we talk about is government at the lowest level possible. This is one of those examples of one of those opportunities to give the power, to give the opportunities to the local governments that can address what their needs are. I know, you know, when we talk about infrastructure and one-time money, one-time projects, it's not that hard to come up with one-time money. It's difficult to sustain the projects and maintain them. And it's easy to jump into the trap of building more and then not being able to pay for it. And I've seen that firsthand for 6 years on the County Commission. They're asking for that latitude. They're asking for that opportunity. And it's my experience that if they understand that the balance has changed and where the funding's coming from, I have faith that they'll be able to save their dollars, set their goals up, and apply them appropriately. I'd encourage your support of this amendment.
Senator Bernard, and then we'll go to Senator Dockstetter. Senator?
Mr. President, as a former city councilman, I watched our discretionary money just shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink. And I think this is a good amendment. I hope that you would vote for it.
Thank you. Senator Dockstetter?
Thank you, Mr. President. Avoid repetition. Just simply remember who is working the front lines. Who's working the front lines in local government? They know how best to use their money. Give them the discretionary tool for the amendment.
Senator Meyer, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we've had basically the same distribution formularies for the last several years, and it's worked well whether you're a city or whether you're a county. If we begin to change this, you're going to have some situations where the projects aren't going to be built that need to be built. It's just as the plain and simple as that. If it all goes in this situation down this road, most of the money really is going to be tracking more into the cities rather than the counties. You're going to be looking at more money going into payroll and less money going into projects. The projects are barely going to be able to get by with the money that we have in here now. So, Mr. President, I would hope that, we would resist this amendment and stay the course.
Question being called, Senator Perkins, go ahead.
My good friend from Albany County has suggested that I've forgotten about my friends and my roots, but I disagree wholeheartedly. I think, first of all, I mean, as you look at that, will this money that goes to direct, will it all go to operations? Absolutely not. You go back, the problem you have when you have consent, Mr. President, when it's all consent is, how do you get a county to agree, a street in the county versus a street in a municipality versus a street in another municipality? How do you resolve those issues? And it's really tough. We've been providing consensus money for a long time. After a while, your water treatment plants, your towers, the things that combine and the communities can come together on and do that. We've still got $33,750,000 in there under this amendment that they can do that. And typically those things get leveraged up because they'll put in some more. They can go to SLIB. They can go to business-ready communities. They can do other things and leverage that money up until it'll go. The other thing that I would point out is just because it's in a direct doesn't mean it doesn't get used for projects. A couple of years ago, the large municipality in our area had, pulled out $30-some million out of reserves that they put into projects that they had put away over time. They'd put into projects when 2008, 2009 hit. So, I think that, I go back to the point my good friend from another good senator from Natrona County said this, the people that are dumb enough to vote for us are dumb enough to vote for them too. Maybe he said the people who are smart enough to vote for us were smart enough to vote for them. I forget. But anyway, it applies. And, you have to give them the money and trust them to do the right thing. So please vote for the amendment.
Thank you. Third reading amendment number 3. Third reading amendment number 26. All those in favor? Got so many. All right, this is 25. Third reading amendment number 25. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Division.
Division being called. All those in favor of this amendment, please stand.
We got.
Let's go. Oh. All those opposed, stand, please.
I don't know.
13.
Amendment 25 has passed. Now we're ready for the 26th and final amendment, I believe. I'd ask that be read in at this time. That is the Driscoll Amendment.
Senate File 1, Third Reading Amendment Number 26. Budget affected, 326, local government distribution.
Senator Driscoll, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for third read amendment number 26 of Senate File 1. You've all now seen that we can pass local government distributions amendments. So this is a good one. This was asked for by our local communities. What it simply does is allows them to leave money for future projects that are not encumbered during the 2013-14, does not revert. It allows those very things we just talked about, that they can carry those money forwards for projects. It's money that's been given to them. It just allows it to stay in the fund. Corrects a wording problem. I encourage your support. Stand for questions.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And back to the sponsor of the amendment, we actually dealt with this issue. And if you look at page 126 of the bill, and let me read it to you so you don't have to grab it out, and I want to make sure we're not inconsistent here. What we said is amounts granted for capital project funding under this section, which are in excess of final project costs, shall not revert upon project completion, but may be applied by the recipient body, governing bodies to any remaining project agreed upon in the consensus process in the county level as determined by the governing bodies. So we took care of the reversionary issues, but we did say, look, if you went out and the consensus process had a group of projects, and suppose you had $1 million allocated for Project A, and only cost you $500,000, that government entity, the dollars won't revert anymore, but that government entity now can use that $500 for something that was on the list. But if they can't go fund something that would never have gotten funded, they have to go back through the consensus process again to make sure that the dollars, so we've taken care of the reversion, I believe. And my concern now, you have now an inconsistency, says, well, not only you have an inconsistency that now says, well, the governing body then can take the money and do anything it wants to do, that in fact pay for something that would never have made it to the consensus list. So my concern is it's inconsistent with that first sentence. Not that we haven't taken care of the reversion. I know what the problem is, and I thought we had taken care of the reversionary problem. And now the issue is if they don't revert, how do you spend them? Can you go over, for example, say, well, we've got $1 million for a very important project. It only costs you $500,000, so you take the other $500,000 and go build a putting green. When the consensus members would have said, wait a minute, we didn't think we're going to build a putting green with our consensus dollars, that you have to come back and talk to us.
Senator Driscoll, this would be your final time. If you want to listen further, we'll go ahead and go to Senator Scott.
Mr. President, speaking on and for the amendment, I don't think this is inconsistent. I think the language in the budget cures one problem. This I see the potential for curing a different problem with. And the problem I see is suppose you're putting together a fairly large project and this funding is only a piece of it. You're getting funding there are a number of federal agencies I know some of the small towns in my district have used. And sometimes that takes some extra time. So as I read this amendment, it would allow you to not only keep the money that's in excess of the final project costs, which is what the budget says, it would allow you to take care of the circumstance where you've got a project, you're putting it together, and one of the funding sources hasn't come through yet, and you think it will, and you think you have a good chance if you can take it in the next biennium. So I think this amendment is a useful one to adopt, unless there's something else in here I've totally missed.
Any other commentary on this particular amendment? Senator Meyer, go ahead before the sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now, if you look at 126, lines 12 through 15, it reads, as to the extent excess funds are not sufficient to complete an additional project, those funds may be held by the county treasurer for future project use as authorized by this subsection. So I think that goes directly to the point the good senator from the Toronto County was talking about, is that if you don't have enough money to do your project, county treasurer can hold it over. They don't revert. They stay there. You can leave them in there as long as you need, and as applied to the two-year biennium that this particular budget has, and they'll come back. Now, if we want to solve this for good, you go to a statute. And maybe that's something that's worth talking about. But I think it's solved for this budget biennium.
Senator Scott, second time, and I go with you.
For my second time, Mr. President, look at lines 126, lines 12 through 14. To the extent excess funds are not sufficient to complete an additional project, not this project, not the project they're granted for, an additional project, funds may be held by county treasurer for future projects. Mr. Chairman, I think you need this amendment to solve the problem when you've got the project for which the funds are intended can't be done within the biennium because it takes longer than that to assemble the necessary funds in some of these larger projects.
Senator Nicholas, you rose earlier for your second time. You still want to do that?
And I'm waffling back and forth in my own mind because I'm having a difficulty with the language for which the funds will not be formally encumbered. For which the funds will not be formally encumbered, and I'm having a hard time trying to understand what's intended by that. Are you talking about we do an allocation, but I don't tell you what the project is, so I'm not formally encumbering it, and I'm not sure what the word formally encumbered means.
Any other questions or commentary before the senator takes his final shot? Wrap it up for us, Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, thank you. Many thanks to the great senator from Natrona County. You hit one over the fence there. You hit it right on the head. That's exactly what's going. The formally encumbered, I'm no lawyer, but as far as what happens in our areas, we have multiple towns. And if those funds revert, they revert back into a pot and they don't stay for a project. They're back in exactly to that, into the mix, and the priorities change. This really is a necessary thing for continued funding in counties, particularly that have multiple entities or have multiple years. I urge you to support.
All those in favor, third reading amendment number 26, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has passed. Final amendment. We're now back on the bill. With regard to Senate File 1, would anyone like to speak to the bill? Question being called. Senate File 1, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall a bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer. Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Esquivel, no to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Senate File 1, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 1 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have some guidance for us?
Not much. Mr. President, I'm going to make appropriate motion in just a second, but just a heads up for tomorrow. We won't have any second reading. We'll just have a third reading and perhaps consent list there and then some third reading bills. And then we'll go into general file, post the bills up here. But what we're going to do, you may see that House Bill 32, of course, redistricting, will be on the general file tomorrow. We're going to take that up right after lunch. We'll probably take our normal break, and then we'll do redistricting. The staff has to set up equipment and so forth. They'll do that over the lunch period so that we can be ready for House Bill 32 right after lunch. And with that, Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 28th.
Announcements. Senator Geis.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, and Water Resources, will meet tomorrow night upon adjournment. We'll take up House Bill 41, Omnibus Water Bill Planning. And then we're going to listen to Assistant Staff Supervisor from the Department of Agriculture.
Senator Schiffer, go ahead.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, are going to meet in about 4.3 minutes upstairs in our committee room. We will probably take up House Bill 4 engrossed. Ignition interlock program fees. We probably will not have time for House Bill 21 nor House Bill 22, as is listed, but we'll take them up later.
Senator Hines, would you like to speak, please?
Mr. President, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow, 15 minutes after the noon recess in Room S-16 and take up House Bill 38, Engrossed Coal Valuation Industry Factors, and House Bill 40, Engrossed Optional Sales Use Tax Uses.
Thank you, Senator Perkins. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet on Wednesday, February the 29th at 8 a.m. in S-1. Consider the following bills: House Bill 2, Engrossed Service of Process Fees; House Bill 54, Crime Victim Service Providers Reporting; House Bill 63, Child Custody Modification After Military Service; and House Joint Resolution 9, Engrossed Mandatory Judicial Retirement.
Other announcements, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow morning up in S-14 at 9 a.m. To take up House Bill 87, Engrossed Mixed Martial Arts.
Other announcements? Other announcements? Seeing none, you've all heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries. The Senate shall stand adjourned until 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, Tuesday, February 28th. We are adjourned.